Get ready for two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Dave Palumbo, John Romano. RxMuscle.com presents Heavy Muscle Radio. Watch out, bro! This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by ALR Industries. Visit ALRIndustries.com.
Welcome to another episode of Heavy Muscle Radio. I'm John Romano, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Dave Palumbo, fresh off the plane from Pittsburgh, where he presided on our behalf over the 2009 NPC Masters and Collegiate Nationals.
Yeah, and Teen Nationals, don't
let's not forget. Teen Nationals. Big show, a lot of oldsters, youngsters. It seemed, from the pictures online, Dave, it was an incredible show.
Yeah, I mean, there was over, I think Gary told me, 406 total competitors. This show just keeps growing every year. I don't even know how they're even housing this thing and getting it done. I mean, we were there literally. The night show started at 5 prompt. I mean, and I'm talking, they were cranking these. They weren't even like, you know, making it dramatic, the announcement when the award winners were given out. They were just banging them out, and it still took to almost 11:30 to finish the show. So, gives you an idea.
You know, with the advent of bikini here and, you know, the popularity of figure, I can see with before too long topping 500 competitors, you know, at some of these big regional shows. They're going to have to do it in 2 or 3 days. They're just going to have to.
They did it. I mean, the prejudging was Friday for the men, and then the women and the teens and collegiates went on Saturday morning. The prejudging, they got done fine, but the night shows take a long time, even though they're only letting the top five pose. And to tell you the truth, there really wasn't a lot of there wasn't a lot of bikini in this particular show. So this show could definitely go over 500 in coming years. And, you know, the USA Championships is over 500, I believe, at this point. So it's going to be insane next week. It's a good testament to the fact that the sport is growing, because, you know what, people might say, well, they're figure, they're bikini girls. It doesn't matter. The NPC, the IPB, the sport is growing, and that's the key. It doesn't matter who's causing it to grow.
And it's testament to the greatness of the organization itself, of this number of people keep flocking to it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Obviously it's being run right, and people are noticing.
Yeah, I mean, I got to tell you, you know, I saw a lot of regular people. Now, I don't know if this is just because Pittsburgh is the home of the NPC and a lot of, you know, local people are aware of that, but there were just regular people there watching and kind of amazed, you know, by what was going on. You know, it really is an interesting sport to watch as a spectator, even if you don't know anything about the sport or even if you don't work out. It's just kind of a freak show, you know.
It's something to marvel at. I mean, to see that number of, you know, incredible physiques in all shapes and forms, from bodybuilding, fitness, figure, bikini, you're seeing the top of the top. So I would imagine to the average person it looks pretty incredible, especially since the average person walking around only sees fat people.
Exactly. And you know, this whole July, August, September is like, it's just every weekend there's like multiple shows. I mean, alone on the RX Muscle website, we covered the, you know, Teen Master Collegiate Nationals. That's three shows in one right there. The LA Championships were this past weekend. The Empire States up in New York, which we'll have pictures for as well. There was a show in Michigan we covered. I think it was the Mid-Michigan or something like that, natural show. These shows are happening on multiple weekends all over the country, and they're getting tons of people. The LA had 186 people.
Jeez.
I mean, that's incredible for a regional show.
Yeah, we did four shows last weekend.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just growing. It's not getting smaller, and every weekend seems to be escalating. Obviously, next weekend is the culmination, at least in the NPC, which is the USA Bodybuilding Championships, which is up there with the NPC Nationals as being the premier events in the country. And, you know, it's always fun to go to Vegas and cover that show. But, you know, let's not jump the gun yet. First, before we get to the news, I want to just talk to you a little bit about our sponsors. JoJo Energy Drink, you know, just want to give you an update on them, because they're going to be in the studio this week, John, putting together the final touches on the studio design. And hopefully by the time you get out here on September 1st, we will be, you know, ready to tape. So as Jimmy Pelleci would say, we're ready to go live.
Yeah, you know, I want to address that right now while we're on the subject. You know, I'm reading all over the message boards, and especially after Jimmy the Bull gave me his diatribe last week during the After Hours show. For some reason, it's opined by certain members of our community that this thing about me moving is a farce. It's not really happening. You know, it's taking too long. Blah blah blah. Well, you know what? I'll be there, all right? September 1st, everybody listen. I don't want to hear this crap anymore. I'm coming, all right?
And you'll actually... we'll be ready to go live,
John. What?
We'll be ready to go live.
We will be ready to go. And I'm moving in down three doors down from you, that's so right. There's going to be no excuse.
Exactly, exactly. Well, anyway, JoJo Energy Drink is, like I said, on board with this whole studio thing. I'm really excited. I know they're making some big waves. They got a couple announcements coming up. I don't want to, you know, ruin it, but in the next couple weeks, we got some big announcements coming from them. I got a lot of emails, John, lately, and I don't know if you have also requesting Arthur L. Ray back on the show.
Yeah.
And, you know, it has been a little over a month, so it's about time that he's due for his appearance. I'm going to talk to him a little bit about what he wants to speak about, so we should have him back on in the next week. You know what it is? It's hard to schedule, like, the real good guests like him around USA Masses National Time because it's just so busy, but right after the USA, we'll get ALR on. And in that same light, I also got some emails about Scott Conley, so I got him scheduled as well. So we got some good nutrition shows up and coming in the next month, as soon as the USA Championships is over.
Yeah, you know, those the both Arthur L. Ray and Scott Conley have really, I think, hit the nail on the head with their product line, because I get so many questions about ALRI supplements and how you take them and how I'm taking the ones I'm taking and what if I only have X amount, what should I spend it on, this or that, you know. And by the same token, Scott Conley, I think, is making big waves here with his Progenics products, especially in the MMA community.
Yeah, no, they're real big. You know, I think a lot of the fitness industry is really leaning towards the MMA community because they realize that that's an untapped market. I know bodybuilding.com is really concentrating heavily on that marketplace. I mean, Larry Pepe has that pro MMA radio show that, I mean, he's getting Brock Lesnar on there, you know, Chuck Liddell, Tito, you know, they got top names on there, you know. So right. I know that they're really heavily invested in MMA.
Makes nothing but sense. It's one of the most popular things going right now.
I think another thing also people don't realize is that, you know, Arthur L. Ray is available to answer questions from the general public. All you got to do is log on to the ALR forum thread, and he's got his own ALR Q&A. You know, so you could ask him questions. You don't have to wait till he necessarily comes on our radio show to talk about topics, but you guys can go on there yourselves as long as you're a registered member of the board, and you can ask him anything you want in the ALR thread on the RX Muscle forums.
Him personally or his products, he's not shy. He'll answer anything.
No, yeah, he spends a lot of time. You know, at first he didn't want to do it. He's like, well, I'll spend a couple minutes. Now he's on there all the time. So
now he can't help it. Yeah, he loves it.
Yeah. So, but that, you know, that's a true businessman, because, you know, he's available to his. I always believe the same thing. If you're available to the public to answer people's questions, they're going to trust that what you're telling them is true.
Exactly.
So, right, having gone through that spiel, I want to just talk. Let's talk about the Masters Nationals, John, because this was a huge event. I want to go through and I want to give props to the people who did turn pro this past weekend and who did well, because this show has become an elite level show up there with, you know, the NPC Junior Nationals, up there with the USA. And it's no longer just for the old guys anymore. These are people that are getting pro cards and can compete in the IFBB. So I think it's worthy of discussing what went on. And I want to give props to Gary Udit, who this guy is an unbelievable promoter, John, and I'm going to tell you why. Because when the show is over, first of all, Gary MC'd half the show because something happened to his MC. All right, he sells tickets, he sets up the venue, and you know what? When I was doing the final wrap up videos, Gary was taking down curtains and poles, like he was helping deconstruct the set. So, I mean, the guy is not afraid to get hands on and get his hands dirty.
Yeah, he's definitely a hands-on guy. He even had time to do interviews with us.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's awesome. This guy is a very, very hardworking promoter. And you know what? He's built the Masters Nationals and the North American Championships, which will be taking place at the end of August, into humongous shows. I mean, if you remember, the North American wasn't held a couple of years because of the fact that they couldn't promote it right.
Right. Now there's almost 400 people in it.
Yeah, I mean, so he's got, you know what? He nurtured that Canadian connection and the Mexican contingency. He's got a ton of people coming down from those two countries for the North American. So hats off to him. And the Sheraton Station Square is a phenomenal hotel in Pittsburgh. You know, everything is housed right in there. It's a big ballroom where they set up the venue and all the booths. I had a species booth there. All the booths are surrounding the venue with all the chairs in there. So it's like all in one place. It's really a very good festive atmosphere there.
Yeah, I was there a couple of years back as a guest of Jim Mannion, actually, covering that show. And it's a great setup. I think it's a great model for all shows. I love having the show actually going on where the vendors are, right? Everything all in the same place, and the hotel is right there. You don't even need to hail a cab.
No, you're right in the same hotel. And the funny thing is, you know what? It doesn't get that much coverage, and I don't understand why. I know MD was there, we were there. I know JM was shooting for NPC Magazine, but you would think a lot more people would cover the show. I mean, it's enormous. It's really, really big, and I think people are making a mistake by missing out on this show. It's a hidden treasure.
I think that's partly because of the absence of the open class, and they don't realize the depth of talent in the masters and the collegiate level. And from the pictures I saw online, I was absolutely floored.
The teen class is great. Wait till I get to talk about the teen guy. I mean, the teen class is phenomenal because you get to see the upcoming talent that over the next 5 to 10 years will eventually feed into the top NPC levels and obviously the IFBB. So it's like my father used to like to watch high school football to see who the new talent was going to go to college, and then they follow them from college to the pros. This is kind of the same way. You're watching the farm system of the NPC now functioning, and you know what? The team numbers are record numbers, so obviously anyone who said the sport is dying doesn't know what the freak they're talking about.
Exactly. I'll second that.
I want to, just before we go over some of the results, I want to just give a special mention to the whole RX Muscle crew who did a phenomenal job this past weekend. Jeff, the producer, who's, I know, hanging in the background barely alive because he didn't sleep enough. He did a great job. He got those pictures up, John, so fast that everyone was going to RX Muscle. We got so many people on the site that the site was actually got crashed a couple times last night.
Knocked me off. Well, he was obviously busy because he certainly wasn't answering his phone. I know that.
No, we couldn't get through to him, not for a single second.
Well, I'll answer my phone as soon as we go live, John.
It's not your phone, though. It's the phone.
Yeah, the bat phone. And Sean Andros, my assistant, did a great job as well. He helped me with the play-by-play the whole time, and he did the wrap-up with me, and he was an all-around, all-purpose guy. He did a great job. Dan Ray, of course, who shot the show, and Nick Palladino from his house, between jobs, was tagging stuff and posting to the forums, and so we all did a phenomenal job, I think. And of course, John, you were holding down the boards at home, man in the boards.
So it was like we were still all together.
Yeah,
we were very, very connected. We had a good, seamless technological grasp on this whole thing, and it all works really well.
No, it did, and you know what? The energy that we projected, I think the fans really appreciate, because we got some great content up. And you know what? I still have tons of content to put up. Interviews with all the winners. I got a great, great interview I did with J.M. Mannion and Jenny Lynn at the Iron Sirens booth, which is J.M.'s comic book that he created based on NPC figure competitors. It's a really cool comic book. I know Jeff and J.M. were talking for a long time because they're both comic book junkies.
No, but right. You see, the thing about it is that until you pick it up, you don't realize how awesome it is. I mean, it's like on the level of like Spider-Man, Batman. It's like the artwork is that good. And actually, one of the guys that made the first book is now doing Spider-Man comics. So,
yeah, he J.M.'s got some heavy hitters doing these comics. So, they go to Comic-Con all the time, and they see Lou Ferrigno there.
Yeah.
And because, J.M. told me that Lou Ferrigno has a line that's never ending, and he's buying posters from him, his books, autographed pictures, t-shirts. The guy must make a tremendous amount of money at these conventions.
The bodybuilding community is so quick to slam Louis because of this $20 thing, but they don't realize that in the real world, Lou Ferrigno has been and still is a big player. He's a big star in that in that category, especially with the resurgence of the Hulk films and his participation in them. But I was at a not Comic-Con, which, by the way, is going to be going on next weekend in L.A., but I was at another comic convention, book convention. I went with another writer friend of mine in L.A. not long ago, and Louis was there, and just like JM says, Louis was there with a line probably 100 people long, stretching all the way across the auditorium, waiting, just waiting there. It's like Meet the Olympians at the in Vegas, waiting to see Jay Cutler or Ronnie Coleman. Same exact thing.
Yeah, good for him. You know, it's great that Louis goes out and does this stuff. A lot of these guys are too lazy, you know, to do anything, you know.
Right.
You know who else JM sees a lot? Also, David Prowse, who does Darth Vader.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he said he signed a picture for JM's son, Taylor, and he wrote on the picture, "I am your father." Which I thought was pretty funny.
That's cute.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, let's get to the show. The men's 40-plus class, the overall, was won by the super heavyweight Stan Efferding. John, this guy is being trained by Flex Wheeler. He is about 258 pounds of lean, ripped muscle. I'm telling you, he's an absolute freak. Blew my mind. I you know, when we saw him at the weigh-in, we're like, this guy's winning the whole show. There's not even close. He's unbelievable. Supposedly he's very, very strong too, from what I hear. I've seen him do some crazy lifts on YouTube, and I hear he said in an interview that if he turned pro, which obviously he did, he wanted to try to get in on that Johnny Jackson Ben White powerlifting competition at the Olympia. I don't know if they're going to let him in or not.
Well, no, actually, you know, I know a little bit more about that after having talked to Robin Chang. It's just for these guys this year, but you know, this could conceivably. Especially with our help promoting it, this could conceivably turn into a major Olympia event. And I wouldn't be surprised if a couple of years down the line, you're looking at guys willingly foregoing their Olympia debut or their Olympia participation to compete in the powerlifting.
I mean, it's funny, you know, unbeknownst to what we were doing, we kind of were unconsciously doing this, but we're almost bringing it back to what it used to be, because I know they used to lift at bodybuilding shows years ago, right?
They certainly did. Back when the AAU was running bodybuilding, it was both. It was, you used to have to do lifts and pose.
Right.
And, you know, I had this idea a long time ago to bring that back, and everybody told me I was crazy and a moron and whatever, and, you know, maybe that's partly true. But in actuality, I could see it happening, you know, because when you have some kind of exhibit of strength, it doesn't necessarily legitimize the bodybuilding aspect of it, but it does lend credence to what it all means. If you can show that the muscle does something beyond posing, and these guys are actually strong and can do lifts and set records and have, you know, a very impressive weights lifted, you know, it goes together. And I wouldn't be surprised if somehow, somewhere down along the line, you see this sort of merge into a concomitant, you know, competition, and guys participating in it very, very happily and very willingly to large sums of money.
Yeah, I think it'd be great. I love to see these guys go crazy and lift heavy weights. And you know what? Remember back in the 70s, Louis Ferrigno and Franco Colombo were on the World's Strongest Man competition.
Yeah.
You know, so there was a lot of crossover. And that was exciting times. You had football players, you had strength athletes, you had bodybuilders, all rolled up into one. And I think that's what made it. That's why CBS, or I think it was ABC, aired
ABC.
It on the wide world of sports. It was one of the top rated events up there.
You know, this is significant. This is the first outing of this, and the first prize is already 10 grand.
Yeah, no, I know. It's going to be a phenomenal competition. I think that Ben and Johnny Jackson also are two great personalities to be promoting it, because Ben is not afraid to say what's on his mind. He's not afraid to tell everyone that he has no qualms that he's going to win. And you know what? Johnny has got a great personality, because Johnny's like, I'm blowing this guy away. He's got no street cred with powerlifters. I do. I got world records. So this is going to be an event that might be more anticipated than the actual Olympia itself.
You know, I got to make one comment about the world records. I after I wrote that that article that you posted on our site regarding this whole event, when we broke the story for our members, probably within 15 minutes of it being posted, I got responses to the post and private messages telling me that the numbers were off, the records weren't right, not being corrected left and right. And you know, normally I check facts, but who would have thought that I should check the facts of a record that a guy supposedly said coming from the guy himself?
Right.
But you know, I guess just like in bodybuilding, they exaggerate about their weight. So
whose record was off?
Both of them.
Oh, really? we'll correct those numbers. But put it this way, they're close. So you know,
they're very. I'm sure they're within, you know, fractions of each other. But yeah, you know, some people are sticklers for detail.
Right, right.
And you know, sometimes you know, a half a pound is the difference between a record and no record.
True.
You know.
Well, anyway, Stan Efferding made quite a display there. He convincingly won this show. And maybe, like you said, next year we'll get him on the stage as well with these guys. Now, Lawrence Hunt won the light heavyweight class, which was the most competitive class in the entire show. There was about 36 competitors. He just edged out Derlin Castro to take that first place. And in the overall, he got the second pro card. And we're going to have Lawrence on the show a little later. He's a real character, and he's a spitting image of Darren Charles, John. It's amazing. Did you see the pictures?
With better legs, yeah.
With better legs, right. And the guy's no youngster. He's probably older than Darren Charles. He's 48 years old.
Yeah, he's dead. Well, Darren's no spring chicken either, but still, that's, you know, I was looking at that photo thinking, damn, this guy could compete frontline IFBB, no problem.
Yeah. I think I talked him into it. We'll have to see when we get him on the show. I try to tell him he should do the Dexter Jackson 202 class in another 2 weeks, because, I mean, you might as well. You're in shape already, you know?
You're right there. You might as well. That's what I was commenting on. A lot of the ladies were going, were crossing over age groups, you know, over the over 30. 45s were going into the we're all going up to the over 45s if their age was correct. And why not? You're there. You just pay the extra entry fee and go do it. You might as well. You're in shape.
Well, this is different. I mean, he's going to be competing as a pro, but I think, you know, as a 198-pound light heavyweight at 48 years old, he doesn't have any more time to refine his physique. He's there.
Right.
Do the 202 class at the IFBB Dexter Jackson Pro Show and see how you fare at this point. You know, it's not like a 25-year-old kid turning pro and he's going to take a year to grow at this point.
Hey, might as well. He's right there. He's just got to cruise in.
Plus, his girlfriend, I was interviewing her. Wait till you see this interview. She's like, this was his last chance. He was like Eminem. He got one shot, and that's it. And she was retiring for him. You know, she was going to retire his bodybuilding career. So he pulled it off, and Lawrence looked great. And we'll talk to him a little later. And, you know, winning the heavyweight class was Rodney Roller, who's another real strong guy and got a powerful looking physique. He didn't get the pro card. Obviously, Lawrence edged him out for that second pro card, but I think he's next in line in the Masters category. If Rodney would have come in looking like he did at the weigh-in, which was in a slightly more depleted state without all the carbs he had eaten, I think he might have snagged that second pro card, because he was looking real freaky on Thursday, and then he kind of smoothed that a little bit by Friday night. So you know, once he gets the timing down, he's definitely next. Don't be surprised if he gets his pro card at the North American Masters.
Right.
Winning the 50 and over category was Tony Jones, who I nicknamed Tony Too Tall Jones. He's a rope man disciple. This guy also never really took bodybuilding seriously. Rope man cracked the whip on him and got him in shape. And the guy's a new IFBB pro. He wins the 50 and over category.
You know, it must be something with these guys that they're cruising along all this time, and you know, they're not really thinking about it, and all of a sudden, you know, a mentor or a guy like Rope Man comes along and says, "Hey, man, you know, get in shape. You can win a show." And then next thing you know, the guy's a pro.
I know. It's almost pretty amazing, actually. Now, you know, you talk about the 50 and 60, but they now, ever since Charlie Arms won the men's 60-plus category 2 years in a row, they gave him a pro card. Now the 60-year-old guy gets a pro card as well. So Doug Kochniff wins the 60 and over. He's from Michigan. You know, there's something about these older guys that I found. There's a pattern here. The guys that look the best in their 60s and 50s and even into the 70s are usually guys that didn't start lifting until they were later in life. Tony Jones didn't start till he was, I think, 40 or something like that lifting, and he won the 15 over, or he was 38 or something like that. I know also Lawrence Hunt got a late start. Doug Kochniff was a racquetball player until about 12 years ago. When he was 58, he starts bodybuilding. Now the guy's an IFBB pro at the age of 62 or 61 or something like that.
That's incredible. Well, you know, I don't know if it's just the lifting or the competing, but I think, you know, these guys that start competing really young, they burn themselves out. I mean, there's only so many times you can put your body through that, you know?
It's not even that, John. It's beyond that. It's the fact that these guys were not competitively bodybuilding, where they weren't lifting heavy. It's like their joints got a breather almost.
Right. Plus the muscle maturity, the older you are, the more mature that muscle is, the more lines and details and etching you have. I mean, I even noticed that in myself, that the difference in my physique from, you know, when I was in my 20s till now. The detail is what comes in much, much later in life.
Right. Well, it's also, though, like I said, if you can't train the way you want to because you have injuries because you've been lifting for 30 years.
the wrong way.
Yeah. No, not even the right way. You just, you know, I'm hurting in certain areas, and I have, you know, muscles that don't look the way they used to look. These guys are fresh still. Look at Tony Freeman. He missed 6 years, and now he's a very competitive guy in his 40s, you know.
Right.
Probably never would have happened had he continued to lift all the way through.
And conversely, you look at guys who have been throwing it down since all the beginning, and they're a wreck right now,
yeah,
and they're not even 40.
me being one of them, yeah. Now, winning the 70 and over, not receiving a pro card, was Walt Radke. And, John, the guy who usually wins the 70 and over category, Carl Marshall, turned 80 this year, so he called Gary up. He's like, what should I do? So Gary made an 80 and over division for him, and unfortunately, there was no one else to really challenge him, so he won the 80 over. I'm sure probably next year there'll be 2-3 guys who do the 80.
You know, I saw the pictures of him, and you know, you'd think if somebody's telling you without seeing a picture, an 80-year-old bodybuilder, especially the over 70 guy, but even the over 80, you're thinking, oh man, this guy doesn't look like a fool, you know? But you know what? He looks pretty damn good.
He's great. The guy's a freak. And you know what? My father's 80, going to be 80 in December, and he likes, my father's like, can barely walk, you know, and
yeah,
much
right.
less, you know, get on stage and pose, you know, 8 mandatory poses. So my father can't even remember, you know, how to use the telephone sometimes. So I think it's great. I think it really is great that these guys are out there.
It just proves, Dave, what we have preached and said for years and years and years and years, that forget everything else, man. Bodybuilding is the fountain of youth.
Yeah.
And you look at your father, I look at my father. They're both in their, you know, my father's 82, yours is 79. They're a wreck,
yeah.
You know. But then you turn around and you got this guy 80 years old. He's on stage hitting shots. I mean, come on.
It's unbelievable. Yeah.
Jack LaLanne. I mean, look at these guys,
yeah.
You know.
It's about quality of life. I don't know
if
it makes you live longer, but the quality of life is definitely
quality.
Better.
It's yeah. Quality, not quantity.
Let's talk about the women for a second. I actually helped the woman, Tracy Mason, who finally got her pro card after about a million tries. You know, Tracy actually started competing back in 1982 before there was an NPC. It was the AAU back then.
Right.
And she's been, you know, she took a few years off when she had kids, and then she just kept going and going and going. And you know, she was so close these past couple of years, even at the national level. I think she was second at the NPC Nationals in the middleweight class in 08. That, you know, I said to her, look, you know, you just got to tighten up the glutes. So she called me up, and when we worked together a little bit. And you know what? Not only did she win the 45 and over and get her pro card, she then went on and won the 35 and over. So she took she won both bodybuilding divisions that were offering pro cards. So she sucked up two pro cards, you know, in one night.
Now, did they, because you won the pro card in the one division, did they turn around and give it
No, they don't do that. Remember at the North American last year, the guy who won the overall there also won the Masters overall, and they did not give a second pro card. I don't know what the reason is for that, but I guess they figure, look, if you're good enough to win both, then that's it. You know, it's kind of sad because it does stiff someone out of a pro card, but that's the IFB, that's the NPC rules right now.
It's the competition. Unless you're in figure or bikini, then you can
then you can just show up practically and get a pro card.
No, not really. I mean, if you got 150 people in your class, you know, the girls who won their pro cards in figure, and specifically Marie-Ann Newman, who Colette had just had on Muscle Girls Inc. the week before, beat a lot of girls, and she got the 35 and over pro card. And then Elise Strickland won the 45 and over pro card. So there were two figure pro cards given out. There was a lot of women there. I mean, it was a big figure event. And you know, there was I mean, if you think about it, the Masters Nationals that never gave a pro card out is giving out two for figure, two for women's bodybuilding now. They're giving out two for the men's 40, one for the 50, one for the 60. I mean, that's a lot of pro cards at one show, more so than any other show, probably. You know,
and that's a good thing too, because you know we've complained about that,
yeah.
You know, several times about the paucity of pro cards, and now I doubt they're listening to us, but at least it's sort of coincidence that maybe this is happening. But you know, it's good. Those kinds of things, those nuances to the competitions are what draw people in. If you can think that you got a shot at getting a pro card, yeah, and that, you know, they're available, you're going to come. And the number of people that showed up is testament to that fact, I think.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. And you know what? It's great for the sport. Gary Udit said to me, look, if the numbers support it, we'll give the pro cards.
Right.
Just like if the numbers support a bikini Masters pro card, we'll give that too down the road. So I'm glad that they're at least evolving as the sport is evolving. Now let's move on to the teen division, because this kid who won the teen category, who we had just done In the Iron Asylum with a week earlier, ironically. We know we made some very good choices with the Iron Asylums this time around. We got a lot of weight. We got Tracy Mason, who won the women's bodybuilding. We got what's his name? The kid who won the collegiates, Jeff.
Steve Spaulding.
Steve Spaulding won the heavyweight division in the collegiate nationals. We got Ariel Kadar. We did something with a few interviews. We got this Benjamin. Excuse me. He likes to be called Benjamin Lair, who won the teen overall. We did something with him. So we did pretty good when you think about picking guys for In the Iron Asylum. And this kid Benjamin Lair is going to be a phenomenal pro down the road. I'm when I look at him, I think Jay Cutler almost. The kid dominated the competition. No one was even close to him in the teen division. And you know what? He competed in the collegiate division, and probably no one would have complained had he won that too. He got edged out by one guy, but who I'm going to mention in a minute. But this kid at 20 years old might be one of the first guys to turn pro before he hits the age of 25 in a long time.
Now, how can he? Did you say he's 20?
Well, he's 19. He just turned 20. Hmm. You know, he's right on the cusp there. I think he was within a week of the show, so you know they allowed that to go through. But this kid is, I'm telling you, he is phenomenal. Phenomenal. You know, he you saw him, and then it was everyone else, you know.
Wow.
Really, you know,
I love when you see that. You know, it reminds me back in the when the 90s spit it out all those incredible pros.
Yeah.
So maybe we're back onto that.
Yeah, well, you know what? He actually moved out to Minneapolis, Minnesota to train with Eric Fromm, who was a top NPC bodybuilder until Eric died recently. I don't know if you remember that. He met an untimely death. I don't even know what the cause of it was. I don't know if they ever released the cause of it, but this, you know, this kid was kind of, you know, depressed after that, because he was like, you know, his little shadow. You know, he left his family and moved out there to train with Eric. And I know that Chris Bongiovanni took over his diet plan and brought him into the show. And I think even George Farah was doing something there. But I know Chris Bongiovanni did most of his diet leading up to his teen national win. And they were predicting this. You know, when I saw the pictures of this kid and when I told him, let's do this video, I couldn't imagine anyone beating him, because I've seen these teen shows. And the muscle maturity and mass that this kid had at that young age is incredible.
It was pretty phenomenal.
And he, you know, last year he did the teen nationals too. I think he was third in the middleweights or something like that. Now this year he was like a full light heavyweight. He had a tremendous growth spurt this past year.
Yeah, he's growing up.
Exactly. Speaking of growing up, I hear Max is sporting some muscles now.
But I got, you know what? In the last couple of months, he must have had some squirt of testosterone surge through his little body there, because all of a sudden He's got, you know, capped belts, little biceps, traps, abs. He's got abs in. He's got, you can see where his pecs are. He's got huge calves. He was on the treadmill yesterday while I was in the gym here at the hotel, and he's pumping away on there, and his calves are poking out. He's hitting crab shots in the mirror, you know. And I'm telling you, remember that kid, the Pocket Hercules, that little kid. Yeah. It reminds me of him now with the hair down.
Yeah,
he's got
the long hair.
And the big muscles. He's gonna. I'm telling you, he's gonna be a. He's gonna be my little child prodigy one of these days.
That's funny. Well, speaking of child prodigies, the teen figure and teen fitness was won by the same person, Ariel Kadar, 16 years old. John, she looks like a grown woman on stage. It's scary to think that, you know. Imagine if she was your daughter.
I was shocked when I found out she was 16. She had that little T-shirt on that had 16 on it, and yeah. Max says she's 16. I go, that's just the shirt. Then I found out. Are you kidding me right now? She's 16? Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable.
Does Max think she's hot?
Yes, he does.
He's got a crush. All right. Maybe you can hire us. Maybe you can hire as a babysitter for Max when you move out of here.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Now, I just forgot to mention the collegiate national overall winner was won by Umon Eaton, who's also got some, at 22 years old, he's got a phenomenal future, I predict as well. And you know what? You got to remember, he defeated Benjamin Lair. So these guys are both top guys, probably one of the two of the best guys to come out of the teen and collegiates in a number of years. So look for these guys. Unfortunately, in the teen women's bodybuilding, there was only one girl, Cassie Bishop, but she looked great. I'm glad to see at least there's some women considering. I bet there's a lot of teen bodybuilder women out there. They just get intimidated by the title of teen nationals, and they shouldn't, because the teen national women, there are never really that many people there. So hopefully any of you women out there who are teens that are considering, you know, that are bodybuilders, you know, you might want to consider doing this show next year.
Yeah, you should.
All right, well, John, we got to go to a commercial break, give our advertisers a chance to show their wares, and when we come back, we're going to do a little news segment.
All right, see you in 2 minutes.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RXMuscle.com. ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today. When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product.
If you're a serious athlete, you know you need energy to keep going. Good energy.
I got that JoJo swagger.
JoJo Energy Drink has it, with only 4 calories and no sugar, essential antioxidants, acai berry, and green tea extracts in pure spring water. And with flavor infusion technology, it's always 100% fresh. Oh yeah, with 6 incredible flavors, JoJo Energy Drink tastes awesome. Now you've got a new workout partner. Get good energy. Get JoJo Energy Drink. Available at JoJoEnergy.com.
have supplement needs? Iron Flex Supplements, the science of sports nutrition, has you covered. IronFlexSupplements.com provides top quality products with prices 30 to 60% below retail. We help not only the hardcore athlete, but also anyone trying to get back in shape or who just want to maintain a healthy lifestyle. We have everything from pro hormones to protein to essential vitamins and minerals. Stuck with your current training regimen? Check out our personal training section. Here you can find a program to better fit your needs and goals. IronFlexSupplements.com, the only supplement site you'll ever need. German American Technologies. Compete harder with GATT supplements. Need energy? Gotta lose the fat? Jet fuel is the answer. Want to build muscle? Use Testogen to ramp up testosterone and start adding the size. How about some muscle exploding pumps and an enhanced training experience? You gotta get your hands on some Jet Fuse. GATT's newest nitric oxide training supplement that's guaranteed to work the second you try it. Join the team. Visit German American Technologies website now at TeamGAT.com. That's TeamGAT.com. German American Technologies. Compete harder. TeamGAT.com. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com. Heavy Muscle Radio.
Hi, this is Lou Ferrigno of Incredible Hulk. You are listening to Heavy Muscle Radio with John Romano and Dave Palumbo. And keep listening, the best show on the air.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by ALR Industries. Visit ALRIndustries.com.
Welcome back to Heavy Muscle Radio. My name's Dave Palumbo, here with John Romano and Jeff, the producer, who's very quiet in the background. Jeff, you really that tired? You got about 6 hours of sleep.
No, I'm wide awake. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but you're cranky, though.
I'm not cranky. What the fuck is wrong with you? What are you talking about? I'm fine.
He's very cranky, John.
Yeah, I know. There was a couple things I wanted to talk to him about today. And not only did he not answer his phone.
Gee, I wonder what that would be, John.
Not only did he not answer his phone. Well, you know what? We have to make a new rule, Jeff. When we're covering shows, you got to answer your phone, dude. I mean, I needed a technical, you know, question answered that I know you knew the answer to. Mm-hmm. And I'm texting you, I'm calling you, and you're ignoring me like a redheaded stepchild.
No, actually, what happened was we didn't go live yet, so my phone doesn't pick up your signal until we go live.
John, if you saw this phone that he uses, it's like from the 1980s. Okay, no wonder why you can't get. I don't even think it receives a signal, and it probably has about. You know, remember the old Motorola's with the big flip?
Yeah.
You remember the battery lasted not even 20 minutes, you know? So you had to keep turning it back on and off. Like, as soon as you finished your call, you turned it off because you want to preserve the battery. And the battery was enormous, too. It wasn't
right,
even...
It's a big thick thing. Right?
Yeah. That's Jeff's battery, basically.
Incorrect. Wow. Completely incorrect and false. It's a brand new phone that actually works. And like I told you, and I will say it again, I will not answer my phone when I'm doing work.
And why is
plain
that?
Plain and simple.
Well, why can't you put an earpiece in your ear and then do the work multitask?
Because unlike you, I cannot conduct three conversations at once. No workout and do a bench press while having a conversation with John and simultaneously talking to me. I mean, how are you doing? I don't know.
You can't read a text. I mean, you can't.
Oh,
you
I
can't
read it.
A text.
I read it and I put the phone down and I resume work.
Yeah, well, fuck you too. You know,
we got to get him an earpiece because if he can put the earpiece in, then he can continue to work while he's talking to you.
Yeah. I mean, I needed 38 seconds of his time. It would have been done.
You 38. Know? He calculated it to the exact
and,
second.
And instead of you giving me 38 seconds of your time, it ate up 4 hours of my time.
I got to fucking get up on the elevator. I got to go walk up to the room, and I got to bring him a shake, too, because if God forbid I come up there and tell him to do something, and he's in a bad mood because he hasn't eaten anything. The kid drinks 18 shakes a day. I've never seen anyone. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it, Jeff. I seriously take my hat off to you. This kid can freaking get the food, pound the food and the shakes like I've never seen.
Starving to death, so when you're starving, you tend to eat.
Seriously, you got to take in at least 8 shakes a day.
Probably more. It depends.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean,
convenient. There's right. days when I don't eat any food at all. I just drink shakes.
Yeah, exactly. And like, yeah, you know, I haven't learned the art of packing on trips yet. So
now he'll drink my isolates if he's in my house. But you know what? If he's not, you know what he does? He drinks pure whey isolate with no flavoring in it, John. He gets like this generic, you know, just, I guess he has it in bulk from before, you know, before he was working with me. And he uses unflavored. He mixes it up with water and he drinks it.
He's hardcore. I like that about
that's Jeff. Hardcore. That
it
definitely
goes down and it's good.
All right. Well, John, I don't know if you read in the news, but the heiress to the BMW fortune.
What's going on with her? She's the richest woman in the world, almost.
No, she's not the richest woman.
Close. I mean, she's the richest woman in Germany.
Yeah, Suzanne Klatten is the richest woman in Germany, and she's being blackmailed over some sex tapes that she supposedly made. And, you know, there's a great quote in the article I was reading by F. Scott Fitzgerald said that, you know, the rich are different. And, you know, it's really true. This woman made a sex tape, evidently. These guys figured, you know what? Fuck, we're going to blackmail this woman. And they're supposedly like real racist. They think that they're holding her responsible and her father for like the atrocities of Germany, Nazi Germany. You know, I don't know why they're doing this. I guess because BMW made airplanes for the Nazis back in during the war.
Everybody did.
I know. So anyway, this is what they want from the woman. They want $1.1 million in cash, and they want an X5 SUV. Now, this has got to be the stupidest blackmailers of all time. Like, you're getting $1 million from her. Like, why not just buy your own SUV after you get the $1 million?
Like, but $1 million? Sounds like Dr. Evil.
Yeah.
Like $1 million.
Yeah, but fine, $1 million. But what's with the SUV? Like, do they want to take European delivery of it too? I mean, this is ridiculous.
That's so insane. BMW is probably worth about $25 billion.
Right.
You know, or probably more, actually.
Yeah. And they want $1 million in an X5. Like no one's going to be able to track the X5 when they register it or anything like that, you know?
Yeah, I know. That's a good thing to get, too, right? Oh, my God.
Obviously, these are not the smartest blackmailers around.
I'm sure that's on the News of the Weird, the stupidest robber category.
Definitely up there. What did he write? The $340 billion check or something like that? Yeah.
Guys, I love that one.
What a moron he is. What a freaking moron. You know, now, the only other news story that I thought was worthy of the day, especially since we spent so much time talking about the Masters Nationals, is have you heard about these guys that who think that the moon landing was a farce?
Yeah, that it was all staged, and the conspiracy theorists have it all figured out that we never really went to the moon.
Right. Why they think that, I don't know. Do you understand why they think we never went there?
Well, the story is that when Kennedy gave the challenge to America to land the man on the moon before the decade was out, that it was a period in time when America really needed a shot in the arm in the confidence department and to kind of foster some national pride and get us going in a positive direction. And like Kennedy said, because it was hard, not because it was easy, but because it was hard. And, you know, there we were in 1969. We're at the very end of the decade. And, like, you know, this is the last, they waited to the last minute to get this done, and they figured, you know, to fulfill Kennedy's legacy, because he was assassinated, and America put so much time and energy and money into this, that boy, we better land a man on the moon, you know. So whether we did or not, they had to at least show America that all this money, time, and energy that we put into this project was worthwhile, because we actually did it. It would have been a tremendous blow to national pride if we did all of that, and while the decade was out, we didn't land a man on the moon. Right. So, according to the conspiracy theorists, there was no way that the government, through vis-a-vis NASA, could show the America that we didn't land on the moon. So whether we did or not, the story went that we did.
So they think that Neil Armstrong was lying?
Is a liar, right.
Well, that has been verified that it is absolutely false that we did land a man on the moon, because they actually have a lunar scout probe that's circling the moon now sent back visual pictures of the actual Apollo 11 lunar lander on the moon, and they actually you can actually go online and you can see these pictures of this thing.
Yeah. You know the rover? You know the little rover thing they had up there? That thing is actually still running around up there because it was solar powered.
Oh, really? That's funny.
Yeah, and there's no corrosive, there's no nothing up there that would keep it unless it got hit by a meteor.
Right.
So
right.
It's for the last 40 years it's been up there buzzing around the moon.
Yeah, but they actually have a visual picture of it now, so people can see it online. And I always think these guys are morons that they'd come up with these crazy freaking theories. Now, I've also heard theories, and this may or may not be true, that there's evidence of, I guess, UFO alien life on the moon, like the other people have landed before. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but you hear a lot about that with these UFO specials and everything like that.
Yeah, we have him on the Whack Pack. His name is Robbie Smalls.
he is a suspicious fucking character, that's for sure.
It's funny, when the bathyscaphe went down there to the bottom of the Marianas Trench in the middle of the ocean, they got the thing all the way down there. They opened up the panels, turned the lights on. You know what the first thing they saw was?
What?
A Coke bottle.
No, really? I didn't know that. That's good.
So my father always thought that it would have been hysterical if, they land on the moon and, they get down there and they turn the cameras on and the first thing they see is a bag of garbage.
They find a Coke bottle. That would be
a Coke bottle.
and who knows? It is possible, I think.
Yeah.
So... I don't know. There's so much disbelief in the world nowadays that I don't think anyone believes in anything anymore, unfortunately.
Well, it seems like any catastrophic event that has befallen this country has also been accompanied by a conspiracy theory.
Mm-hmm.
From the Twin Towers to landing on the moon, everything.
People don't think that the Nazi Germany happened, that the concentration camps happened. They're in denial of that. I mean, which I know completely really irritates the fuck out of Jews. And being a half Jew myself, I can sympathize with that, but there's a lot of fucking crazy people out there.
Because anybody out there will say just about anything to give themselves their 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah, unfortunately. All right, well, John, we got a great show. Before we get to the, we're going to go to a commercial break and we're going to come back with our first guest. Before we do, I just want to say, I'm looking forward to seeing John Lindsay out there at the USA Championships this coming week. We had Lee Banks on the show. We have Malcolm Marshall on the show tonight to talk about his chances in the super heavyweight class. There's a lot of other guys out there that we haven't mentioned. Mark Alvizi and... there's about 15 other heavyweights out there. There's Ryan Padaracki, who won the Southern States. There's so many people in this show that people can say can take this show that I think it's going to be one of the most anticipated USA championships that, in my recent memory. And in that sense, I'm excited to actually be going out there.
And it will be the first USA championships, I think, ever that I will not be at.
I know. Well, that won't happen anymore, so... This is a very transition-y year for you, John. So,
oh boy, tell me about it. It's a gray area. Let's not go there. What I've been going through.
You'll be manning the boards. It'll be all right.
Yeah, it'll be fine. Just like I'm there anyway.
Right. I just want to give one more shout out to our good friend Ron Norman competed this past weekend. He didn't place top five at the super heavies, but Ron's always a good character and is always a stand up guy. And we went out to eat a couple times and he looked great. It was the best he's ever looked. But these 40 and over classes are so competitive now, and he's getting like you toward the end of the 40s. So I think he said he's going to wait another couple years and he's going to do the 50 and over. So Ron, we thought you looked great, and don't give up. Keep pushing forward, man. Ron's got more trophies anyway than anyone I know. He's been competing for about 30 years now.
Yeah, he's been competing forever. Now, was he at the Empire, or was he at the...
He was Masters Nationals he was at.
Oh, wow, yeah, wow. Yeah. It's like his third show in the last month.
Yeah, I know. This is the show that he was aiming for. But, like I said, when you start getting in the later 40s, it gets a lot harder, because these guys keep getting better and better and better. You keep getting more and more 30-year-olds turning 40. Those guys that are on the cusp of, 40, 41, they're really still in their prime, Rodney Roller being a perfect example.
Right.
So
plus Ron has torn his quads. He hasn't had an easy time of it.
He's one of the guys like us that has been injured quite a bit.
Right.
So
he's a wounded soldier that keeps coming back.
Well, anyway, we're going to go to commercial break, John. When we come back, we're going to have our first guest.
All right. See you in 2 minutes.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on rxmuscle.com. ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today.
When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product.
If you're a serious athlete, you know you need energy to keep going. Good energy.
I got that JoJo swagger.
JoJo Energy Drink has it, with only 4 calories and no sugar, essential antioxidants, acai berry, and green tea extracts in pure spring water. And with flavor infusion technology, it's always 100% fresh. Oh yeah, with 6 incredible flavors, JoJo Energy Drink tastes awesome. Now you've got a new workout partner. Get good energy. Get JoJo Energy Drink. Available at JoJoEnergy.com.
Have supplement needs? Iron Flex Supplements. The science of sports nutrition has you covered. IronFlexSupplements.com provides top quality products with prices 30 to 60% below retail. We help not only the hardcore athlete, but also anyone trying to get back in shape or who just want to maintain a healthy lifestyle. We have everything from pro hormones to protein to essential vitamins and minerals. Stuck with your current training regimen? Check out our personal training section. Here you can find a program to better fit your needs and goals. IronFlexSupplements.com. The only supplement site you'll ever need.
German American Technologies. Compete harder with GATT supplements. Need energy? Gotta lose the fat? Jet Fuel is the answer. Want to build muscle? Use Testogen to ramp up testosterone and start adding the size. How about some muscle exploding pumps and an enhanced training experience? You gotta get your hands on some Jet Fuel. Jet Fuel. GATT's newest nitric oxide training supplement that's guaranteed to work the second you try it. Join the team. Visit German American Technologies website now at TeamGAT.com. That's TeamGAT.com. German American Technologies. Compete harder. TeamGAT.com. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com. Heavy Muscle Radio.
Hey, this is the Game Triple H from the WWE. You're listening to Heavy Muscle Radio with John Romano and Dave Palumbo.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by ALR Industries. Visit ALRIndustries.com.
Our next guest was the winner of the extremely competitive light heavyweight class at this past Saturday's NPC Masters Nationals. Not only did he win his class, but he also took home his IFBB Pro card. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Lawrence Hunt. What's up, man?
How you doing? How you guys doing, fans? I'm just very happy you haven't soaked in yet. I'm a pro bodybuilder.
How does that feel? Is it?
Unbelievable, because that's a dream that you have, you know, from childhood. I was always looking at magazines, and I thought, like, a pro bodybuilder. How can I be a pro bodybuilder? And I'm 48 years old. I'm still giddish and happy about it. like a kid.
Now, you know, the state of Michigan, which is where you're from, actually did very well yesterday, correct?
Yes.
Because Tracy Mason won her pro card in the women's bodybuilding. Doug Kochniff won the 16 over. He's from Michigan. And all you guys are from the state there. You've obviously all, you know, competed on a local level as well. You know, the other, you know, top Michigan State guys and girls are Linda Murray, Darian Bond, my fiance Colette is from Michigan, Ron Love. You know, when you think about it, Michigan has a very strong, like, kinship of bodybuilding brotherhood there. And when I go to the state to visit, because I go with my fiance, I sense that. You got Darian Bond there, who's really into the scene. I mean, who are your influences and who were your influences as you were coming up in the field?
Darian Bond is one of them. Me and him, I've known him for years. He always been there, and I was a real motivated speaker. You know how he talks, and
sure.
He gets me going. John Simmons.
Right, John Simmons, sir.
John Simmons is. He's like a dad to me. He's very strict, and that's all he does. Hold your poses. He's always directing me a certain direction. He's very brief and curt. He's short with his words, but he's telling me this is how you're gonna win. So those mentors alone, and Ron Love, of course. Ron Love, of all people, he was Mr. Olympia in the Mr. Olympia, and he established some goals that it was a dream to me. I knew him like 15 years ago, watching him. I thought, like, this is possible. He said, all dreams are possible.
The funny thing is that you were kind of the same age as all these guys, so it just took you a little longer.
Exactly. At the time they were doing it, I was only 180 pounds.
Wow.
And I was just getting started. This is 10, 15 years ago, but I had potential, and they saw it in my muscles then.
And that's what I was going to ask you when you got started.
I got started in 1988. And I was doing some local shows, and very, natural shows, and trying to do these shows, and I did pretty good at it. And I had cut some lines then. I always was in shape. But as far as my dedication, it wasn't strong yet. I didn't really put everything I got into it. And I injured my back. At work, I was a hollow driver, and I injured my back. And when I did that, I started getting therapy in my back, and I saw how to do the exercise properly. And they taught me a little bit about training properly and nutrition. I actually started learning how to eat properly and everything else. My body just excelled.
So when was your first contest?
My first contest was in 88 and 89. I did pretty well, and I came in first place. Came in second place in 89, and first place in 91, Great Lakes Natural. And I did the Rose City and did real well. And I kind of just stopped. I just didn't do anything after that until I won the Mr. Michigan 2005.
You know what the funny thing is, John, about guys like Lawrence? You know, he wasn't taking the sport seriously, and he won his first couple of shows. I took the sport 100% seriously. My first show, I came in sixth.
Wow.
And never turned pro.
So, you know, there, it just goes to show you. Now, Lawrence, you defeated like over, I think there was like 36 guys in your class this past weekend in that light heavyweight class. What most people don't realize, you know, also you mentioned this earlier, is that you're 48. You know, you weren't one of the younger guys. There's a lot of guys that just turned 40. You know, did the fact that you were giving up 8 years to some of these guys, you know, kind of intimidate you going into the show? Like, you're thinking, wow, I'm 48. Maybe I'll have to wait till I'm 50. Did that ever come across your mind?
Absolutely. I felt like, you know, I'm too old. I'm getting too old in this class. And can I do it? My body feels different. You know, I get up out of bed, you know, holding my back. I have the arthritis, and the same thing an older person with at 50 gets. But, you know, I can look at those young guys, and I see them 40. They look young to me.
Yeah.
I go, wow, they look good. I said, you guys are healthy, looking good. Their skin looks good. I got a lot of gray hair. I shave my head and beard. I got a lot of gray. And I hide it. When you hide your gray, it makes you perceive yourself to be younger. So I got to feel younger inside. And that's the whole thing about bodybuilding, too. don't give up. So when I try to push myself, I got to watch how I push myself at 48. And I think the difference between me and the younger guys is that I take it as my nutrition and my workouts very seriously and make sure I don't overtrain myself. I make sure I eat right and properly. I try not to be, most younger guys have the ego in front of them. They try to lift as much as they can and try to show off their muscles in a certain way. But I'm more serious about, okay, I want to develop this body part. I want to get somewhere with this. I want to make this happen. I'm more self-aware in the body. I'm taking it seriously and taking a certain route on it as really the nutritionist thing, and health. And my body just, I can get lean as I can and get the cuts and lines in my body like never before. I'm better now than I ever was when I was younger.
But, from the photos, you bear an uncanny resemblance to IFBB pro Darren Charles, except that you have better legs. do people ever confuse you with him at the gym?
When I walked in the show today, they kept looking at me, how are you doing? They kept nodding and saying hi to me. And they said, I thought you were Darren Charles. And I said, no. I'm Disney Force. I'm doing the show here. They said, you look just like him. I had at least 15 people tell me that. And they were saying, they thought I was there for someone else. And my wife was next to me. She says, do you look that much like him? I said, when I come down on my weight, my body looks like him. My face looks like him.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, it's an odd thing for me. But I look at him, I go, okay, he's a better bodybuilder. He's a different type of body. But I see my body in his body. I can see myself right there next to him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you do.
I just want to say that to him, hey, look out, I'm coming.
I was talking to a judge this morning. He thought you were better than him, actually, he told me. So that's a compliment. Now, what is Darren from Trinidad, John?
Trinidad, yeah.
Well, you don't have you don't have any island roots, do you?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
That's a Motor City, Detroit.
Motor City, Detroit. That's good. Now, you narrowly defeated second place finisher Derlin Castro. It was very close. I didn't see the scorecards yet, but I have a feeling it was a couple-point decision. Going into the overall pose down, did you think you had a chance to win the overall?
I actually did. I felt confident in my lines, my cuts. And I know the guys have a massive body, but they look very good. And I said, okay, these guys look real good. I got to stand next to them. I try to stand next to them a little bit and hit some shots that I feel like I can at least stand next to them in the photos or how it looked to the judges. But I felt very confident, even though I'm about 50, 60 pounds lighter.
Yes. And big Stan Efferding was a lot bigger. Now, when they announced Stan Efferding as the overall winner, which they did first, Now there's the rest of you guys left, and they're going to announce the second pro card recipient. Did you think you were going to get it?
Actually, at that time when they announced him, I said, oh, my God, it's between me and the heavyweight.
Right.
And he looks good, too. He's a very beautiful body. He's got thighs. He's got delts. He's got back. His legs are there. And I says, okay, at that time, I'm thinking, it's going to be close. I got to have it. I got to have it. In my mind, I wanted to get something, and it happened. Yeah. You don't know. And believe me, Castle was pretty tough, too. I was worried about that. And he's a good bodybuilder. Yeah. He looks good.
Yeah, no, that was tough, that class.
Yeah, he looks very good. Nice. Okay. And when I made it through that, I said, oh, I got a good shot. I got a good shot to get him a pro card.
Well, now that you do, and at 198 pounds, you're perfectly aligned to enter the new 202, under 202 class in the IFBB. You'd be very,
yes,
very competitive,
yes,
there. Is that what's next for you?
Right now, yes, I would like that to happen very, very soon, because there's like a few, I think it's about three different shows of 202s. And I'm kind of scouting around now for some extra little help or endorsements, but to get me there, because I'm willing to go for it now. I'm eating junk food right now, pizza and everything else, but I'm trying to hold on to my lines now. So tomorrow I'm going to go back on my diet, get back into the gym, and focus on my next show. I have to do it real soon. At 48, I feel I have a little time left.
Yeah, just to be, I'm your age, so I feel the same way. But, Dexter Jackson's show is right around the corner. Would you consider his?
Yes. Yes, yeah. I would. And that's in Florida, and that's a couple of weeks, I think, next week?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. I would love to do these shows because Dexter is the new Olympia, and it would mean something to me to enter that show.
Yeah, well, I think you should do it. You know, we'll be down there. You know, we let's any of you guys out there, any sponsors out there want to put up, you know, looking to hire a Darren Charles lookalike. We got Lawrence Hunt here who's got some serious talent, and I think I really believe, and I'm not just saying this, and people who know me know that I don't bullshit people. I really believe that you can be a dominant 202 bodybuilder because you got that really good package. You know, Darren Charles would have been a good 202 bodybuilder, but I think he's a little too tall. You kind of perfectly like fit into that class, and if you bring the condition you brought on Saturday night, I think that you'll be tough to beat.
I think if I walk in that show at 202 2 weeks from now, those guys gotta look out.
Yeah,
I'll be completely ready.
I agree.
I think Dexter would be very pleased at my physique because I don't know, I'll hold my hardness and I'll be a little more fuller. And at that, in 2 weeks from now, my body always looked great afterwards. So you know how it is in bodybuilding. Yeah. So in 3 weeks from now, 2 weeks from now, I'm not going to devastate them.
Yeah,
check it out there.
And we know Dexter Jackson listens to the show. He's definitely listening to this right now. So hopefully, you know, he'll give you a call and he'll con you into coming down there because I think you'll be a great addition to that 202 lineup.
I talked to Dexter about a month ago, and I said, hi, Dexter, this is Lawrence Hunt. And he says, I'm not a pro bodybuilder. And he says, oh, yeah? And I says, but I believe I'm going to be a pro, and I'll be calling you after I win. He said, this is what he said. He says, well, you're not a pro yet, but if you get that pro card, you call me. And I says, I will be calling you. He says, no, you call me. Cause it's almost like he was saying, go for it, Dan. Don't call me now. You call me then.
Right.
And, you know, I held that in my mind when I was training. I kept thinking about that. I said, I can't wait to call him.
That's a great story.
He has no idea. If I go out there, yeah, I'm coming. If you hear me, Dexter, I'm coming. Give me a call. You know my number. At least you've gotten my number. 313-879-9831. Call me.
Wow, that's a great story, man.
That's awesome. And Dexter does listen to this show.
Yeah.
So, you know, he'll be calling.
Now,
you know, he's the type of guy that I look up to a certain way because he's not a real big guy. He's big, but he's got the lines. He's got everything that a guy... I think it's two different kind of bodybuilders. Like either you have a package or you're just huge. And he has that package that everyone like want to look like. You know, he's got a body that's big, but at the same time, he's not real. He's got the lines, so he's not overwhelming with these muscles that look sweet. Looks nice.
I remember when Dexter won the Southern States. It was on ESPN, I think, and he was a middleweight. And I'm like, at the time, you know, I was actively competing, and I used to compare everyone to myself. And I'm like, you know what, this guy is a middleweight. Is dangerous. I wouldn't want to compete against him. That's the kind of, you know, muscle and density he had. So yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, when I asked your wife last night about what she thought about the whole contest dieting thing, she told me very authoritatively that this was your last chance to turn pro. Explain what she meant by that.
Well, it drove her nuts. You know how diet goes. You're dieting. You have no carbs in your body, and you're very depleted. And so she was saying that you better win this. Win this card or else.
That's funny. Well, you did it, and did you buy yourself a couple more years of competing now?
Yes, I will.
All right, she's gonna allow you to do it now.
I gotta ask my wife, of course.
I think she was pretty happy for me last night when I was talking to her. So
I always find that funny about us. You know, we start in bodybuilding, and it's all this rough and tumble game, you know, hardcore guys in the gym, and you're throwing down and suffering and everything. And then when it comes time to do something later in life, we end up having to ask wives and girlfriends if we can do something.
Yeah, because I said, hey, before my show, I said, honey, do you think I should do the... I had it in my mind already. I planned it already in my mind. I said, I got to go out there and do my show. I got to win this pro card. I says, let me ask her. I says, honey, what do you think about me doing a show? She looks at me really funny. Didn't say much. Then I asked her again. She says, well, do you want to do the show? I says, yes, absolutely. She says, well, that's what I'm asking you. Can I? She says, yeah, go for it. Win. And this was months ago. So through the hard working out, no low carbs and dieting and me being grumpy and ornery and everything else, it's like, you better win. We're not coming home without that card. So I was there.
Oh, man. What are some of the other than being married and having to deal with all of that? What are some of the other challenges? You know, I'm your age, so you know I know some of what you're going through. But in terms of competing at your age, at our age, what are some of the challenges of training and competing in our late 40s?
Well, when you get older at 48, you have you're more mature. You have a family life, and you got to separate yourself a little bit. You got to learn how to put the you know, when you're younger, you kind of, you're in the gym. You're in the gym for 3 hours, 4 hours, and all you talk about is bodybuilding, right? But when you mature, you have a family, you have a life. You got to kind of separate yourself a little bit. You got to kind of have your life as a family person first, because that's important. And then at the same time, when you do your sport or your hobby, you make it sincere and serious to make it happen.
Lawrence, you know, I just want to thank you for stopping by and taking time. I know it was a busy schedule flying back to Michigan tonight. Congratulations on your win, and hopefully we're going to see you in 2 weeks at the Dexter Jackson 202, because I have a good feeling about the way you're going to place there.
I feel that if I go out to Dexter Jackson show, I'm going to win it.
Well,
I got to get out there.
Let's make it happen then, man. And you know what? Keep in touch with us, and we'll be out there, so we'll be covering it. And I'm going to give you a call a little later and talk to you about doing some training videos, because I'd like to see how you at 48 are, you know, training that physique you use.
Oh, you guys see my training workout. Supersetting everything. My superset everything. I train with high reps, a little different. I guess I work out hard, more, put my aerobics in my training.
That's good, though.
Still lifting heavy.
You can tell.
That's how you got to train when you get older. You can't afford to lift heavy.
Yeah, I know.
You
live heavy,
but you look smart.
Okay, sounds good. Lawrence, thanks for taking time to talk to us, and we will we'll be in touch, man, and hopefully we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thanks, man. Enjoy the pizza.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RXMuscle.com.
ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then fuel your workouts with the great tasting and energy enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today.
When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product.
If you're a serious athlete, you know you need energy to keep going. Good energy.
I got that JoJo swag.
JoJo Energy Drink has it, with only 4 calories and no sugar, essential antioxidants, acai berry, and green tea extracts in pure spring water. And with flavor infusion technology, it's always 100% fresh. Oh yeah, with 6 incredible flavors, JoJo Energy Drink tastes awesome. Now you've got a new workout partner. Get good energy. Get JoJo Energy Drink. Available at JoJoEnergy.com.
Have supplement needs? Iron Flex Supplements, the science of sports nutrition, has you covered. IronFlexSupplements.com provides top quality products with prices 30 to 60% below retail. We help not only the hardcore athlete, but also anyone trying to get back in shape or who just want to maintain a healthy lifestyle. We have everything from pro hormones to protein to essential vitamins and minerals. Stuck with your current training regimen? Check out our personal training section. Here you can find a program to better fit your needs and goals. IronFlexSupplements.com, the only supplement site you'll ever need.
German American Technologies. Compete harder with GAT supplements. Need energy? Gotta lose the fat? Jet fuel is the answer. Want to build muscle? Use Testogen to ramp up testosterone and start adding the size. How about some muscle exploding pumps and an enhanced training experience? You gotta get your hands on some Jet Fuse. GAT's newest nitric oxide training supplement that's guaranteed to work the second you try it. Join the team. Visit German American Technologies website now at TeamGAT.com. That's TeamGAT.com. German American Technologies. Compete harder. TeamGAT.com. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
This is Kevin Lavroni, and you're listening to Heavy Muscle Radio, baby, with Dave Palumbo and John Romano.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by Progenics. Visit ProgenicsSRG.com.
Our next guest is a world powerlifting champion at 220 pounds. He's an ex-Marine who guarded President Bill Clinton, and he's a practicing pharmacist. What a group. Man, the man I'm talking about comes all the way from Grand Ledge, Michigan to sit in our studios today, John. I want to welcome Matt Krajaleski.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
Thanks for coming, man.
What's up, Matt?
How's it going, John?
It's good. You?
Good, good.
This guy's got to drive back to Michigan tonight, John.
Goofed.
Came all the way out here. All the way out here just to do some training videos at Bev's and to talk to us.
Wow. We're honored.
Yeah. Now, Matt, since most of our listeners really don't know who you are, why don't you explain a little bit how you got into powerlifting and exactly, you know, the synthesis of where you got to today?
Okay. It's just, you know, I always wanted to be big and strong as a young kid. I remember being 3, 4, or 5 years old. Every time I saw a big guy, I was like, man, that's how I want to be. And genetically, I'm this, you know, really small, skinny guy. I was more of a genetically suited for distance running than I was lifting. And I just, you know, processed little by little. I've always trained. And I mean, I haven't had more than a couple weeks off since I was 9 years old. And, you know, throughout the time growing up, people always telling me, you know, you don't have the genetics for it. You'll never reach your goals. You'll never do this. You'll never do that. And it was just fuel for my fire and kept me motivated. And, you know, a little bit every year, you know, gains here and there. And now I finally got to where I'm at. I got serious about competing right after getting out of the Marines in end of 95, early 96. And so I've been competing seriously for about 13 years now and professionally for about the last 5 or 6 years. And, I mean, every year's been better than the last.
So you were in the Marines. What did you do? What was your assignment, and how long were you in, and all of that?
I was in for 4 years, from December 91 to December 95. I was lucky enough to be selected for presidential security duty under Bill Clinton. And I spent the first year and a half, almost 2 years, and after my initial schooling in Washington, D.C., we did security for admirals and generals that worked at the Pentagon, the Chief of Naval Operations, Commandant of the Marine Corps. I was also lucky enough to go on security detail for United Nations conferences in 1993 that were in New York City. And then my last 2 years were spent up at the presidential retreat, Camp David, under Bill Clinton. And it was a great experience. You know, I was fortunate to be selected for it and happy to be able to do it.
Did you get to hang out with Bill and chase women and stuff with him?
Well, unfortunately not. Contrary to popular belief, he really wasn't that social of a guy, at least not with us anyway.
What's Camp David look like? I mean, what is it like? I have no idea.
You know, it's I'm probably getting in trouble for saying all this, but some CIA guys out there listening to this can come pick me up afterwards. But no, it's actually on top of a mountain in the middle of a national park, and it's pretty rustic. It's not as fancy as you would think it is. I mean, it's nice in the president's cabin, especially, but it's real rustic. Everything's kind of like an olive drab green and wooded. There's horse trails behind it. Like wood chip trails and stuff. It's very rustic. There's a beautiful, you know, behind the president's cabin, there's a beautiful view off the top of the mountain. You can see the towns below and everything, but it's not extravagant by any means.
So what is it meant to be, like a place that he can vacation that's well guarded? Is that the idea?
Exactly. It's the only place in the world the president can go and no one can bother him. There's several gates that people have to go through to even get close to it. And we had, when I was up there, we had, I think it was Andy Rooney from, I believe he was with 60 Minutes at the time, tried to come up there. And what we'd do is we'd trap people between the outside two gates. You let them come through the first gate and then drop the second one, then drop the other one behind them and trap them out there. And from that point, they can't even see the outside of Camp David. And we stopped them out there and searched them and everything. But their camera guy was actually slick enough to swap videotapes on us, and they actually like showed on the show like how to get there and everything. But we really didn't have any problems, and it was a big to do at the time, but nothing really became of it.
Did Andy Rooney go there just for that purpose?
Yeah, his whole thing was, since taxpayers' money's paying for it, they should be able to see Camp David, what's inside, and all this kind of stuff. And of course, you know, how are you gonna have a security area for the president if everybody knows what's going on?
True. Now, tell us a little bit about your powerlifting career, because I know you've, you've squatted over 1,000 pounds in competition, and you have a lot of impressive lifts on your record. Talk to us about how you got started in that, and then give us some of your lifts.
All right, thanks. My best lifts are 810 in the deadlift, 738 in the bench, and 1,014 in the squat. All those were done at 220. Well, the squat actually was done at 242, but I have done over 1,000 pounds at 220 as well. My best total's 2551, which is an all-time world record at 220 that I just did in April at the UPA Nationals. That was a goal I've been chasing for the last couple years. I started out, like I said, right after the Marines, doing some small local competitions. I remember first going to meets and being like, you know, the weakest guy in the division, being that, you know, my lifts were the opening lifts. Actually, my very first competition after the Marines, there was a female named Jolynn Arvin, who was one of the strongest women in the world at the time, and we were neck and neck.
Holy shit.
And I was like, damn, I cannot let a girl beat me. And so I fortunately, I did outlift her, but not by much at the time. And it's been a slow process, little by little every year, making a little bit of gains, you know, first at the state level, then the national level. Qualified for my first nationals in 2000, actually placed third there in the 242s, and then and then there was a period after, let's see, from 2003 to 2005, I had a series of injuries. That's when my testicular cancer came in. I tore both biceps, a couple other muscle tears, and I was kind of like away from all the competitions for a couple year period, but the whole time I was progressing as a lifter. And then I came back, qualified for the Arnold in the fall of 2005, and then ended up winning the Arnold in 2006. And everybody, I remember Jesse Kellum, who's like a legend in the sport, who'd been one of the top guys in the 198s and 220s for over a decade. He actually placed third behind me, and he came up to me right after the medal ceremony, and he's like, dude, who the hell are you? I've never even heard of you, you know? And I was like, just little by little, and I've been out for a couple of years, but now I'm back and lifting better than ever. So, and it's just continued to progress from there.
Yeah, I before we get to the whole testicular cancer thing, I just want to get through some of these. I know John had a question he was kind of amazed about.
Because, you know, sometimes Dave tells me these things and I go, come on, man. But he told me that you once lost 30 pounds in less than 24 hours to make weight at 220.
Actually, I've cut over 30 pounds or better on three different occasions, with this last time in April where I broke the world record. I cut 35 pounds, which is the most I've actually done. I won't kid you. I mean, it's 24 hours of hell. And it's basically, I'm just willing to suffer, I think, more than the next guy. You know, a lot of guys will cut 10 to 20 pounds, but, I tend to push things to extremes. And, this last time was just pure misery. I'd cut 35 pounds in just under 24 hours, and it was probably the most miserable thing I've been through in my life. But yeah, generally it's just all sweating everything out. You know, usually you're staying at a hotel and the bathrooms are small and you can, you know, run the hot water all night long. So what I'll do is basically turn the bathroom into a steam sauna and plug up the fan, plug up underneath the door and get it up to probably about 150 degrees in there. And I just do 30-minute cycles where I stay in for about a half an hour, come out for 5 or 10 minutes, and go back in. I found that's a real good rotation. It keeps my core temperature from getting too high, keeps me halfway sane, and tends to work really, really well. But this last cut was really miserable. I got down the last couple pounds, completely dried out, kind of stopped sweating, and barely made it. But, yeah, it really just comes down to mental toughness and willing to endure pain. And
you know, the thing I'm asking myself, John, and you must be too, is why wouldn't he just take a diuretic or, you know, help, even the herbal diuretics to help speed the process? Do you just like the pain and suffering, Matt?
Maybe, but no, I mean, I've seen a lot of guys go that route, and they tend to have a lot more problems with cramping, and you know, you screw up your electrolytes, especially potassium levels, that, you know, that can cause a lot of problems, potentially very serious ones. And honestly, when you're cutting, you know, 15% of your body weight, I don't know in the long run the diuretic really benefit you that much. I mean, yeah, they'll get off 10 pounds real quick, no problem, but cramping becomes much more of an issue. I mean, I've seen guys cramped up in a fetal position laying in their bed that can't move, and you know, then they have to bail and IV back up and they don't make weight. And I mean, yeah, my method is probably definitely the most difficult, but it's, I think it's also the most effective and the safest way to do it.
And it doesn't sap your strength? I mean, you broke the world record at 2550. How do you do that?
Well, fortunately, we have a 24-hour weigh-in. If I had to lift right after doing that, yeah, I wouldn't be able to lift anything. I mean, yeah, there's times, like when I was at the Arnold in 2007, I literally had to have my buddy carry my duffel bag to weigh-ins because I couldn't lift it. I mean, I could barely walk. And if you've been to the Arnold, you know, you've got quite a walk, the huge convention center.
Sure.
And just walking up there was like all the strength I had. And vision's blurry. I mean, your hands are shaking. You feel weak as can be. And it's miserable. I mean, it's completely miserable. But, yeah, it's funny, too, because you tell guys about it and stuff, but until they actually try to do it, I don't think you really understand how much suffering it is until you try to put yourself through something like that.
John, this is the guy who failed the psychological part of the Marine Corps, presidential, guarding task, right?
Yeah, I actually did. That was the funny part. After being in this presidential security program for 2 years, the last thing you do before you go up to, they sent us to either two places, either up to Camp David or to White House Communications to do security. And you have a final interview with, he's actually a retired Marine Corps colonel that does all their psychological testing. And you have a final meeting with him and he goes over my psych test. The first thing he tells me is, oh, by the way, you failed. I didn't approve you for presidential security duty. And I was like, oh, that's great. But the thing was, part of it was I lied on a lot of it. And, you know, they tell you not to. You know, they tell you don't try to beat the test because you're not going to be able to figure it out anyway, which now that I know how they work, it's totally true. But you know, you're told you got a chance to guard the president. Of course, you're going to do whatever you can to try and do it. So every question I'm analyzing, what do they want to know by this? And the questions were just off the wall stuff. If there's a painting on the wall and there's a flower in the painting, what color do you want the flower to be? You know, I'm like, black. stuff like that. It just, you know, crazy stuff. There was actually lots of religious questions, which surprised me.
Really?
But I ended up talking to a psychiatrist friend of mine years later and asked him about some of that stuff. And the religious questions were related to a thing they call religiosity. So if you're like hyper-religious, that tends to be the crazy guys are always, your mass murderers, serial killers, and, you know, stuff like that tend to be. So that's where that stuff is. But there's reasonings behind all of it. But yeah, at the time, you're just like, what in the world? And I mean, these tests are like 600 questions long and you're taking them for hours. It's just crazy.
And it's funny, the president, all he does is say, God bless us, God bless that. If you're too religious, they don't want you guarding him.
Exactly.
True.
Matt, you've overcome some serious obstacles in your life. Aside from the two bicep tears you had, the calf tear, the quad tear, you've also overcome testicular cancer. Tell us about how that came about.
Yeah, that was kind of a freak thing. I mean, there's really no history of cancer in my family, and I had no risk factors. And testicular cancer is a funny one. I mean, they really don't know what causes it. There's no real way to identify who's at risk for it or not. It is the most common type of cancer in males between 25 and 40. And, I, you know, for whatever reason, I just developed it. And the funny thing was, I had noticed it myself, and it wasn't like, the thing with testicular cancer too, there isn't a lot of signs or symptoms. You generally feel pretty normal. I did notice, like, because of my testosterone levels dropping due to the cancer, I felt tired and weak. A lot of times my training had been going really crappy for about 6 months. And at the time I was working overnight shift as a pharmacist, which I'm still doing now. And I just related it to the overnight shift, screwing up my sleep cycles, not sleeping much, stuff like that. Kind of blew it off. But then I noticed that, I remember from college that one sign of testicular cancer is one of your testicles being denser, like harder, almost like rock. Not quite to that same degree, but just a lot firmer. And I don't know, I was taking a shower or something, kind of noticed it. It kind of blew it off. I'm like, you know, not me. I'm Mr. Healthy. No history in my family. And it wasn't until 6 months later. I just had a routine checkup with my doc, and I kind of brought it up, and I hadn't even planned to talk about it. And I was just like, hey, I kind of noticed this. You want to check it out, see what you think? And he totally agreed with me, sent me next door for an ultrasound, you know, and as soon as the technician started doing it, I could just tell by the look on her face that it was cancer. And, you know, I was, and the funny thing is, when something like that happens, they don't waste any time. I mean, 15 minutes later, they had me scheduled for surgery. 3 days later, had the one testicle removed. Then I ended up going through radiation therapy, 20 sessions over the period of a month. And, I was lucky. I tolerated everything real well. Even the radiation, I didn't have a lot of the vomiting and stuff that a lot of people get. And, I mean, you know, I was best case scenario. Fortunately, it didn't seem to spread that they could detect, and I tolerated the radiation well. And I mean, heck, I was back in the gym 4 days after having my testicle cut out.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that because I hear rumors that you were bleeding in the gym.
Oh yeah. I squatted. I think I trained 2 days after the surgery, but I actually did squats 4 days afterwards, and yeah, it caused a lot of bleeding through the incision, and the bandages were soaked, and they had all turned brown. And when I went back in to see my oncologist, he's like, oh man, I think this is really infected. And I'm keeping my mouth shut at the time, so I knew he'd freak if I told him why. But once he pulled all the bandages off, he's like, wow, it actually looks pretty good. And he's like, I don't know what's going on. And I didn't say anything. So, yeah.
Another crazy, crazy guy. Yeah. This guy's so crazy, John. I got to just tell you this one story he was telling me earlier. We were talking. He said he was squatting in the gym and he felt a blood vessel burst in his head. And he didn't go to the hospital. Tell us that story. That's even more insane.
This is a classic one. It was back in college, and I was training one day before going to work, and done a bunch of heavy squats. And the funny thing was, it didn't actually happen during squats. It was immediately afterwards. I was doing a high rep set of leg extensions, and I could feel this pressure building in the back of my head. And I felt a pop, and I had this sensation as if it was like cold water or something running inside my head. Well, it was actually the blood leaking out. There was about a 3 second delay, and then instantly the worst pain I've ever felt in my life. It was just intense pressure inside my head, and I couldn't do anything but pace back and forth. I mean, I couldn't open my eyes. It was just, I mean, after surgeries, I was telling Dave earlier that I don't take any painkillers. And I mean, after my last bicep surgery, I told the anesthesiologist I don't want anything. And I've trained myself to condition myself to be able to withstand more pain. I've done some crazy things for that, but this was just unreal. And I went home and I had some painkillers left over from my last surgery that I never took, and they were just Tylenol 3s, but the pain was so incredibly unbearable that I ended up popping like 12 of them in the next hour and a half, and it just took the edge off, and then I went to work. it was one of those
things.
You didn't
go to the hospital, John.
That's nuts.
If you felt bleeding in your head, wouldn't you go to the hospital?
You know, I would, you know, probably think that something was wrong, you know. Yeah. Maybe I should get this checked out.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, yeah, it's one of those things that sounds totally insane, and it probably is, but you know, I thought, I'm going to go there, they're going to tell me, oh, don't lift anymore, you know, you're done, and blah, 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 and I'm like, that's not going to happen, so I don't want to waste everybody's time, and I sucked it up, went to work.
And it happened to him again. It happened to him again.
Yeah, it happened one time a week later. Pretty much the exact same scenario. I mean, the pain subsided after a couple of days, and then I went back to working out in the gym, and I was fine the rest of the week until it came time to squat again, and then the exact same thing happened. And that one kind of freaked me a little bit, because I'm like, oh, no, is this going to happen every time? I mean, and seriously, you know, I'm thinking, how much damage am I causing? And I mean, but, you know, it was to the point, I mean, I could still think. I wasn't losing consciousness. Definitely. Am I pushing it to the edge? Of course. But, if I would have started blacking out or something, yeah, I would have, you know, at that point, I'm sure someone would have called 911 or whatever.
You're going to be one of those guys that dies and doesn't know it.
Oh, that sounds like a bad way to go.
Die happy, at least. Yeah.
No, I mean, you'll refuse to die. You'll be dead, but still lifting.
It'll be like the guy in the Sixth Sense, right? You know, still walking around hitting competitions.
That's right, exactly.
Right. Man, speaking of that, you speaking of competitions anyway, you're one of the few power lifters that's actually got an endorsement contract. And we were just wondering, Dave and I, if Muscle Tech signed you because you actually are not only a good power lifter, but you really do look like a bodybuilder.
I'm sure that had a lot to do with it. I mean, they didn't come out and say that, but... Yeah, basically what happened was they contacted me last summer, and from what I understand, they had one of their marketing guys was pretty familiar with the sport. They wanted to expand in their marketing into powerlifting, and this guy had narrowed it down to his top five selections, me being one of them, and then took it to the head guys. And after they looked at everything, I was lucky enough to be selected. And I'm sure my physique had a lot to do with that. You know, it just, you know, makes you more marketable, and you know, you look a lot better in the ads and stuff like that. And for me, it's just always been, I mean, definitely my main goal is strength first, but I want to look good too. I mean, who wants to look like crap, you know, really? And you know, a lot of powerlifters, I mean, they're big, strong guys, but look horrible, and their health's terrible, too. I mean, you know, there's so many super heavyweight powerlifters that have died in their late 30s, early 40s. I mean, I love the sport, and I mean, and let's be honest, I mean, competitive lifting isn't about health, it's about winning.
Sure.
And I mean, first and foremost, I mean, that's what I'm after, but at the same time, in the back of my mind, I mean, I want to live a long life. I mean, you know, I want to see my kids grow up. I want to enjoy things, and I don't want to be kicking the bucket 10 years from now or be so debilitated that I can't enjoy life. You know, right. So it, you know, it all plays in.
Do you actually eat like a bodybuilder?
You know, not like a pre-contest bodybuilder, but I do tend to eat a lot cleaner than most powerlifters. I mean, my diet generally consists of a lot of oatmeal, and I mix it with whey protein, malt meal, a lot of lean red meat. I buy a lot of round steak, trim all the fat off it. Chicken breast, I kind of got burned out on those for a while there. But yeah, real high protein, moderate carbohydrates. Most of my carbs probably come from baked potatoes, oatmeal, you know, stuff like that. I do drink, if I'm trying to gain weight or not cutting, I drink tons of skim milk. Actually, while I was in the Marine Corps, I mean, our diets were pretty much set. You know, you had to eat in the chow hall, this and that. And my last year in the Marines, I was getting frustrated. I had just broken the 200-pound barrier, and we did so much running and cardio in the summer that I would always lose about 10, 15 pounds. It was really frustrating me. I had gone home on leave in August, and I was due to get out in December, and I promised my brother, I weighed 195 at the time, and I told him, I said, I will be 225 when I come home for Christmas this year. And I went back, I drank 3 gallons of milk every single day between
3 gallons?
Yep, 3 gallons. We worked split shifts in security, 4 hours during the day and 4 hours at night. And at that time, I was working what we called the security operations center, basically watching video cameras and stuff like that. And you're locked in this tiny room 50 feet under the ground and, you know, blah, 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 all by yourself. I would take a gallon of milk down with me each tour and drink the entire gallon. So that was 2 gallons on each of those. I drank another gallon throughout the day with my regular meals, and it worked. I put 30 pounds on in about 4 months.
You must have had the worst guess. Oh my god.
I'll tell you, the worst was drinking the old fashioned raw egg homemade protein shakes. Those that I could clear out an entire building with those.
It's a little like being in prison, Dave.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me. Yeah. 50 feet on the ground.
Yeah, Marines, prison, I don't know if there's much difference.
Now, have you ever thought of competing in a bodybuilding competition?
Yeah, I have. Actually, I did one small show back in 96, a long time ago. And actually, right now, I'm very seriously considering doing the Michigan next May. I've had a lot of people encouraging me, you know, the level my physique is at now, I feel like if I put on some size, bring my arms and shoulders up more like a bodybuilder, balance a few things out, I feel like my torso is real strong, my chest and back thickness is good, my abs come in pretty tight. So if I bring a few things up, you know, switch my training up, increase my volume. But yeah, I'm thinking very seriously about doing the Michigan next spring, especially if I can put on this additional body weight that I'm trying to do. So it'd be good. It would work with the goals for what I'm trying to do right now. Like I said, I want to push my body weight up into the 270s, and then I'd be cutting to 242 for powerlifting. But yeah, I'm very seriously considering doing some bodybuilding shows late next spring, early next summer.
How old are you, Matt?
36.
Huh. Getting up there.
Yeah, trying not to. But but yeah, you know, I mean, I've had a lot of injuries and stuff, but I still feel great. I'm stronger than ever been. My motivation's as strong as it's ever been, and I don't see the end anywhere near in sight. I see me competing for at least another decade.
Wow. Now, you seem to break the mold of the typical or stereotypical bodybuilder muscle head. You're a practicing pharmacist, and I always wondered, why don't more bodybuilders become pharmacists? It would kind of make things a lot easier.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt.
where did you go to school for pharmacology?
Fair State University in Michigan. Most states only have one or two schools that actually have pharmacy programs, and Ferris State is the one in Michigan that graduates the most pharmacists.
Now, does anybody kind of look at you sort of on the sly? They go, what's this guy doing? He's like, you know, powerlifting, bodybuilding, yeah, working as a pharmacist. Do they think you have your own little, chemistry set at home, making kind of hormone cocktails for yourself?
I wish. it definitely, it's funny. All through school, it was when I got in school, it's so funny the stereotypes people have and how true they think they are. In pharmacy school, even in pre-pharm, I had to, prove myself all the time. People look at you, assume you're some big dumb meathead and that you don't belong there. My organic chemistry professor, I mean, I had him for two semesters in a row.
I hated organic chemistry.
Oh, yeah, organic sucked. But in organic one and two, I mean, in organic one, he gave me the hardest time, rode my butt, and just thought I didn't belong there. And then once I proved myself, I got along with it. The funniest thing is, quick story, I used to tell my one buddy there all the time, I was going to, he was a real arrogant guy, super smart guy, but really arrogant, total prick. And, like I said, he just rode my butt all the time. And I used to talk all the time about how I was going to jump him out in the parking lot and beat the crap out of him. And in the second semester, after I kind of got to know the guy and he got to know me, and he actually turned out to be really nice then. And we were talking one day, and I was just like, and, you know, all the chemicals you deal with and all these reactions we do and everything, they're all, everything's labeled carcinogenic, and I just said to him, and I'm like, Dr. Baker, I said, don't you ever worry that, dealing with stuff year after year that, all this stuff that's so toxic that you're going to develop cancer or something from it. He goes, no, to be honest, I'm more worried about somebody jumping me in the parking lot. And I swear to God, I busted out laughing so hard, and everybody else in the class didn't know why I was laughing so hard. It was just, he just kind of looked at me, but I was like, dude, that was me. I was that guy,
Now, pharmacology, John, is a tough field to get into. It's not like, it's pretty much you go through the same courses you take to go to medical school.
Right, right.
Were you always a good student, Matt?
To be honest, school always kind of came easy to me. I always did, I always scored well on tests, and I just had a knack for understanding things a little quicker, a little easier than most people.
Because you think, the guy goes to the Marines, all right, he's a power lifter. I mean, talk about underestimating people. People always ask me if people underestimate you, but I was like a school guy, right? I didn't go into the Marines or anything. I was school from high school to college to med school. It must have been a pretty, crazy transition for you.
Yeah, it was. Like I said, the hardest thing in college was just everybody looking at you like you don't belong there. You're not that smart. But there was nothing better than beating all the nerds at their own game. I mean, they were the one time getting the highest score in the class on an exam. And there's all these people that are 4.0 students crying in the hallway because they failed. And I mean, I loved it, it was just great. But yeah, it's funny. And stereotypes are frustrating. I mean, even this day, I'm so different from what people expect of me. I mean, yeah, I'm aggressive, I'm competitive, I do these crazy things, so I mean, there's parts of me that are extremely masculine and fit this stereotype. But then, at the same time, I'm somewhat of an intellectual. I have a lot of interests and I do a lot of things that you would not expect. But it's hard. I mean, everybody does it. You prejudge people based on your past experiences and what you think. But yeah, it's frustrating at times. People just assuming you're completely different than what you really are.
Well, you certainly are. And when are we going to see you competing again?
Like I said, right now my main goal is to add a lot of size and strength over this next 6-9 months, possibly a year. Very seriously considering doing the bodybuilding shows late next spring, early summer, which would be the Michigan, and if that goes well, possibly the Junior Nationals. It's up in the air right now, but it's definitely, I would say it's 80-90% sure that I'm going to do that.
So you're shelving the powerlifting for now?
Between that time period, yes, but then I would probably, there's always a big pro-am in August. Louis Simmons from Westside Barbell runs a big pro-am. That would probably be my next powerlifting competition, which would be next August, which would give me enough time after those bodybuilding shows to bulk back up. But I'll weigh things out, see how they go. I mean, I'm definitely not done with powerlifting. I have a lot of goals yet I want to achieve. A 600 raw bench is one of them. I want to deadlift 900 pounds. I would like to hold the all-time total record in another weight class, at least one more. So, I mean, I'm far from done. But, you know, I may take some time, try to add a lot of size and do a little bit of bodybuilding and see where that goes. You know, I never know. If it goes really well, maybe I'll run with that for a while.
Well, Matt, I want to thank you for coming into our studio, driving up to New York, and I just have a safe drive back to Michigan and keep us updated.
Oh, thanks, Dave. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it, and thanks for everything.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RxMuscle.com.
ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today.
When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product.
If you're a serious athlete, you know you need energy to keep going. Good energy.
I got that JoJo swag.
JoJo Energy Drink has it, with only 4 calories and no sugar, essential antioxidants, acai berry, and green tea extracts in pure spring water. And with flavor infusion technology, it's always 100% fresh. Oh yeah, with 6 incredible flavors, JoJo Energy Drink tastes awesome. Now you've got a new workout partner. Get good energy. Get JoJo Energy Drink. Available at JoJoEnergy.com.
Have supplement needs? Iron Flex Supplements, the science of sports nutrition, has you covered. IronFlexSupplements.com provides top quality products with prices 30 to 60% below retail. We help not only the hardcore athlete, but also anyone trying to get back in shape or who just want to maintain a healthy lifestyle. We have everything from pro hormones to protein to essential vitamins and minerals. Stuck with your current training regimen? Check out our personal training section. Here you can find a program to better fit your needs and goals. IronFlexSupplements.com, the only supplement site you'll ever need.
German American Technologies. Compete harder with GATT supplements. Need energy? Gotta lose the fat? Jet fuel is the answer. Want to build muscle? Use Testogen to ramp up testosterone and start adding the size. How about some muscle exploding pumps and an enhanced training experience? You gotta get your hands on some Jet Fuse. GATT's newest nitric oxide training supplement that's guaranteed to work the second you try it. Join the team. Visit German American Technologies website now at TeamGAT.com. That's TeamGAT.com. German American Technologies. Compete harder. TeamGAT.com.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise, up-to-the-minute news, and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
This is
Desire FBB Pro Johnny Jackson, and you listen to Heavy Muscle Radio.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by Progenix. Visit ProgenixSRG.com.
All right, John, our next guest is going to be one of the premier top guys at the NPC USA Championships this coming weekend out in Las Vegas. He's got to be considered one of the favorites, at least in my mind. He's also one of the biggest competing NPC bodybuilders out on the circuit today, and I thought it would be a great idea to get him on the show tonight. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Malcolm Marshall.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
Hey, you know, it's good to have you here because, you know what, I've been meaning for several months to have a good reason to get you on the show. Obviously, you know, winning a show is always good, but I knew you were preparing for the USA, and I just think that you just don't get enough credit from the press and from the fans out there, and sometimes maybe not even the judges. So I really wanted to get you on the show so that people can get a little taste of who you are.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Now, being one of the biggest bodybuilders out on the scene, you know, having built you up like that, give us a little idea of what your measurements are as far as height and weight goes.
Well, I'm about 6'1", 1.5 inches, and off season I normally get up to about 315, but, you know, this morning I've been dieting. I weighed in at 278, so I've come down over 30-some-odd pounds, but, you know, at 315, 310, you know, I was pretty much around 6% body fat. So around 278, I'm pretty much I look like a crackhead right now. But I weigh 278, so
a 278 pound crackhead, John.
Yeah,
yeah. There's a lot of those walking around.
You know, talking about, you know, staying at 6% body fat in the off season, I probably think that's a very good move on your part, because being a big guy like that, if you can stay lean, it's got to make your job a lot easier coming down and getting in shape.
Well, it does, and you know, you don't have to kill yourself. I mean, dieting is never easy. I tell everybody, training is always the easy part, dieting is the tough part, but it takes a little bit of the. You know, well, I mean, you got to suffer. I mean, your dieting is never easy, but it still takes a little bit away from it when you're always in striking distance to coming in tip-top shape.
Malcolm, when you first got involved in bodybuilding, what did you weigh?
My very first competition, I weighed in at 234 pounds.
Were you a skinny kid?
Never really a skinny kid, but I think, you know, I was 250 pounds is like off-season type when I did my first show, and I weighed in at 234 at my very first show. So, you know, I was average-sized guy, I think.
Did you play, like, football? I mean, what did you do, like, when you were coming up before you
got... Yeah, I played a lot of football, ran track, played football. I was a fullback. Played fullback at the University of North Carolina. I signed a couple free agent deals, one with Philadelphia Eagles and one with the New York Jets. Didn't really work out, and from there I kind of found my way in getting interested into competitive bodybuilding.
What's the difference between like, you know, making it at the college level, because obviously you played for some top schools, and then getting into the NFL? What where's the disconnect there? Is it that much harder to make that jump?
Well, not really. It's just a numbers game. The offense is, you know, the system is a little different. And, you know, being a fullback, most teams only carry one. So, like, that knocks the odds down anyway. I mean, so it would be that one guy to make the team. I mean, and you know, they have, like, a 45-man active roster, and it's just pretty tough. I mean, you know, I don't take anything away from the guys that made it, but it's tough. It's almost like trying to turn pro as a bodybuilder. You know, you got one guy, you know, one guy per show, well, you know, two or three opportunities to turn pro a year. So, I mean, it's just not, you know, it's just pretty tough. It's just a tough task.
Because you would remind me of like a Brandon Jacobs kind of guy, you know, who plays for the Giants.
Yeah. Brandon's a big guy. I was a big running back, like sort of similar to Brandon, yeah.
I mean, because I can't imagine trying to stop you, you know, coming running at me. But like you said, it is very competitive out there. Let's go back a little bit and talk about some of your first competitions. From what I can see, in 2002, you won the NPC Elite Muscle and the NPC Metro Lina. Tell me about those shows and when you first got involved with them.
Well, you know, I didn't really know much about bodybuilding at all. A buddy of mine, Maurice Crocker, who's a good friend of mine, he took me to a show because
everybody had always told me you should think about bodybuilding because, you know, I guess I had sort of, you know, a lean, muscular physique, kind of, you know, genetically lean already. And everybody, you know, in the gym said, man, you should compete. You should compete. So I checked the show out, and I felt like, man, I could do that. So I dieted. My first diet, I dieted on chicken and pineapple for like... I dieted on chicken and pineapple for like 10 weeks. And actually, at tuna. And I won the overall, not knowing much about nothing.
You know, actually, that's really smart because there's a lot of bromelain in the pineapple, which is a key component in digesting protein. So you would probably, without even knowing it, you were doing yourself a favor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What about all the sugar in there, though?
Exactly.
He obviously has a genetically gifted physique is what happened.
Yeah, and I won the overall in my first two shows. You know, I didn't really start getting the eye opener. It was a wake up call when I started, you know, going on a national level. But you know, it was the local scene. The local shows around here were competitive. But you know, I came out on top, and the fact that I won, I guess it sparked my interest, and I guess I got bit by the bodybuilding bug per se.
Yeah.
And I just kept going with it.
When you can do everything possibly wrong and still come out on top, you know you're in the right sport.
Kai Greene used to eat whole pineapples, like, you know, two at a time.
It must be something. I don't know, but I, you know what? From what I've learned, I don't touch pineapples anymore when I'm dieting. I didn't know any better. I thought I was doing the right thing, actually.
Oh, boy.
Well, now, Malcolm, after those regional victories in 2002, you moved up to the national level and you won the super heavyweight class at the 03 NPC Junior USA. Now, did you think at that point that was it, that you could become a pro one day? Was that where you crossed the line?
No, you know, it was just something that, you know, being an ex-football player, it was just something that was... I still had those competitive juices inside of me. You know, I got cut twice in the NFL, and I wasn't ready to quit, man. I still had some, you know, I still love to train, and, you know, bodybuilding just gave me a new arena to compete. And actually, you know, I got bit by the bodybuilding bug, kind of fell in love with it. When I did the Junior USA, it was just, I felt it was just a level above what I had previously done, because, you know, I had done pretty much the biggest shows in my state locally, so it was just another step up, you know.
I got to segue back to the football for a second, Malcolm, because you went to some big, big college schools. They must have treated you like you were a superstar over there. I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
He probably had everyone kissing his ass at the school, and everyone's, you know, the football players are like the heroes there. Then you go to the NFL. Obviously, I'm sure they treated you great. What was like the intro salary at the NFL level when you first started?
Well, back then, it was, I think the introductory salary was like $110,000. But, you know, the thing about it is, you know, it's not guaranteed. Only thing that's guaranteed is the bonus. So when, you know, you get cut, it's no more money. It's no money, you know.
Gotcha.
So it's like, yeah, it's no guaranteed money. You know, since 87, that collective bargain agreement with the players' strike and all that, you know, mm-hmm. It ended. No such thing as guaranteed money anymore in the NFL.
Kind of like where we used to work, Dave.
No, definitely no guaranteed money. But, you know, but going from like the NFL where you know that if you do make the team, you're going to get 100 grand, probably 200-300 grand, you know, if you sign, to going to bodybuilding where it's costing you, you know, 20 grand.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Know?
Yeah.
Well, that must have been a big shocker for you. I mean.
But, you know, it's like. You, I tell people all the time, man, you don't bodybuild for money.
No.
you have to love it. You know, I think in football, you know, most guys, believe it or not, I can't speak for everybody, but even with football, you know, it's in your blood, and, you know, I'd have played for free, man. You know, the money part is always so great, but, you know, most guys, if you're a competitor, you're a competitor. You know, if you like to just be active in something or have something going on, I mean, that's just who we are as people, you know.
Sure.
You know, I guess I'm not the type of person that just love to just stay at home and sit down on the couch and flip channels. You know, I'd rather be in the gym training.
Right.
And bodybuilding just gave me an outlet of activity that, you know, that I enjoy. And, you know, it's sort of an extension, you know, to, I guess, you know, my previous life. But, I you know, it's sort of like a new chapter. But with the money aspect of it, yeah, you're not going to get rich playing bodybuilding. But you have to love it, you know. Sure. It's something that you love and you do because you have a passion for it.
Good, well said. Now, in 2008, that was I call that your breakout year of sorts, because you placed fourth at the NPC USA, which was, you know, which was a lot of people were talking, and then you finished a very controversial fifth at the NPC Nationals. Now, just walk us through what went on in your head and how you felt after each one of these shows.
Well, the USA, you know, I kind of wanted to, you know, I went in big, and, you know, I did that, I don't know, psychologically. I just felt like I just wanted to show, you know, everybody that I had some good size and I was lean, and, you know, I was a bodybuilder, so to speak. I knew I could have probably come in a little bit better condition, but, you know, I just came in, you know, kind of big, you know, and I weighed in at 281, which I think I probably should have come in a little tighter. And but, you know, I wanted to show my shape, and I did. So, you know, going into the Nationals, you know, I felt like, okay, I'm going to show, you know, I'm going to come down and I'm going to be conditioned and I'm going to try to keep my shape and just, you know, show the judges, you know, my best, give them my best shot. So I got, you know, I came in, you know, I thought my conditioning was on, you know, and I thought that, you know, I gave him my best shot, you know, and, you know, a couple of guys, I didn't really understand the placings at the time, but, you know, to turn pro, you got to win, and I kind of felt like, you know, Ed, he looked great, and,
yeah,
you know, I gave him the nod anyway, so it's like, you know, you got to win to turn pro, regardless of, you know, I didn't play second, third, or fourth. So, you know, you still got to win to turn pro. So, I mean, I accepted it, but I just felt like I looked better in the Nationals than I did at the USA. It's just my own personal opinion.
I don't see how you lost to Trey Brewer, Steve Kuklo, or Atoyan. I thought you definitely were a solid second at that show as well.
Yeah, and, you know, and but the fact of the matter, like I told myself, you know, I thought Ed looked great, and, you know, you got to win to turn pro, and so, you know, I didn't think, you know, I would turn pro anyway. So, but at the same time, I just felt like, you know, I didn't understand, you know, really the placing, but I accepted it. And, you know, just like my goal now is to come in bigger and tighter than I did at the Nationals. And that's my personal plan. That's not just personal goal anyway, is to look better than I did the show before. And I feel like if I can always improve every show, then that's, you know, that's a step forward.
So what did you do differently this year to get ready for the USAs?
Well, I think I'm learning my body a little bit more. You know, I learned a lot from a lot of different people. I learned a lot from Dave. I learned a lot from, you know, just different people over the years. And I kind of learned my body. You know, I kind of know when to do like a carb diet, and I know when to do the keto diet. Right. And I just kind of pay attention to my body. And in such, me learning my body is just improves my outcome. You know, I think I've learned more about the nutrition part on the off season, on, you know, putting muscle on. But I think the major part for me is learning how to come down, learning how to learning my body on dieting.
He's got a tough physique. I worked with him, John, a couple times, and, you know, his body is not like anyone else's. You could put him keto, but you can't do it too long or he loses muscle, because his metabolism is so insane at the weight that he carries.
Yeah.
He needs, like, you got to almost shock him a little bit. You got to do some carb cycling. He's definitely a different beast. And if you look at the size of him, you can tell that right from looking at him.
What do you think you're going to weigh this year, Malcolm?
You know, I don't know. I weighed in this morning at 278. It was today's Sunday. You know, I'm still depleting right now. And, you know, I carb up, but, you know, you carb up and then you drop water. I really couldn't tell you. I don't know, you know. But, my plan is to be fuller and more conditioned than I was in November. So I think I'm on course of doing that.
So what do you what do you predict?
My body fat's lower. Excuse me.
I'm sorry. I was going to say, what do you predict for this show then? If that's what you're saying.
My weight, probably maybe 270, somewhere between 270 and 275, maybe.
Cool. That's big.
Now, Malcolm, let me just talk to you a little bit about what you do for making some cash nowadays. Are you bodybuilding full time? You have another job? You have a sponsor? You want to plug some stuff?
Well, yeah, I'm a sponsor. Well, you know, I do this stuff for Cytogenics, which is a part of Ayurvedic Sciences. But you know, I'm a personal trainer in the office, you know, here, and I do, you know, just like personal jobs, like flipping houses and things in my area around here. But you know, the majority of my money right now comes from just training. I train clients out of a private studio called Showtime Physique here in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and I have about 33 clients that I work with.
Wow.
Mostly women trying to lose weight. But
can you imagine bringing your wife into him? He's 278 pounds, 6'1" bodybuilder, and your wife wants to lose weight. It's probably funny.
Hey.
Are they intimidated when you first come in before they get to know you?
Actually, at first, yeah, but they open up. I mean, you know.
Well, you're a nice guy.
It's a thing going on now. It's like, well, stay away from Malcolm when he's getting ready for a show. But outside of dieting, I'm a great guy.
No, you are. You have a great personality too. So
yeah.
When they get to know you, you're like the gentle giant, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Now, when you say you flip houses, you don't physically flip them over, do you?
Oh, no. It's just, you know, we do. My sister and I, we do some renovations. We, you know, we purchase a house,
sure.
And we do some renovations. But, you know, it's been so bad lately. I hadn't really done one in a while. But, you know, hopefully when things pick back up, I can get back into more of that.
You can flip a house for John. He needs a house.
Oh, really? The market's not too good right now.
The market's terrible. Well, there's some good buys right now, but, you know, we all think it's going lower.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Malcolm, how do people get in touch with you for guest posings, appearances? Do you have a website or anything?
Well, yeah,
like that?
I have a website. It's www.houseshaker.com. That's houseshaker.com.
I like that.
House shaker.
And,
not house flipper, house shaker.
House shaker, yeah. And, I'm always open to, you know, anyone needing somebody, you know, needing me actually for doing some guest appearances or guest poses at any shows anywhere, actually.
I'm going to start recommending you because I get a lot of calls from people. And you know what? Now that I know that you stay within 6% body fat, that's a big selling point for a lot of promoters, I think. And who the hell wouldn't want to have a 6'2", 315-pound guy come guest pose? I mean, you should be all over the place.
Well, I'm available.
All right. Any promoters out there, you listening, give this guy a call. You got a cell phone number you want to put out there?
Yes, you can call me 336-407-1031.
All right, Malcolm, I appreciate you taking time. I know you're a little cranky. You got the USA coming up. We're going to see you there on Friday, and hopefully you'll come out on top.
Thank you, Dave, and hopefully I will.
All right, John, I think we had a great show tonight. We really showcased what's coming up in the NPC USA. We talked about the Masters Nationals. Lawrence Hunt is a great, great guy and a real character.
Yeah, he is.
And probably the best character that I've encountered in a long time is Matt Krasileski, or also known as Matt Kroc. This guy has gone through more crazy stuff in his life. You could already write 3 biographies about this guy.
And one funnier than the next.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy you want to hang out with. I mean, that's how much fun he is and all the crazy stuff he does.
He might have to be an honorary Whack Pack member.
Yeah, I mean, if we can get him to drive a nail through his arm for us and we can show it on video, he definitely is a member of the Whack Pack in my mind.
Yeah.
Jeff, any final words?
John, I'm going to answer my cell phone in 2011 for you.
Thank you, Jeff. I'll have an event planned for that.
Cool. You're still carrying on with the cell phone?
Hey, he brought it up. I got to address it.
Where's Diego, man? Wasn't he supposed to show up?
Hold on, let me find out. Diego, you still down there?
Yes. Would you like me to lick your balls on the left side or the right side?
A little bit to the left. He's down there, so.
Jeff has a hard time of these weekends, you know? Yeah. He's the day before and the day after, you just don't want to talk to him.
He did work. He worked very hard, actually.
He worked very hard. Mad props to Jeff. Those pictures were going up so fast last night as the winners were coming in. It was like being there.
You know what the funny thing is? He's a lot like me in one way. He's like, I always tell people, you know, my only weakness is lack of sleep. So right. If I don't sleep, it's like kryptonite to me. And he's the exact same way, only he's worse. When he doesn't sleep, he's I could fake it for a day or two. He's completely like dead, you know.
Yep.
So anyway, on that sour note, I'd like to thank our guests Matt Krushelesky, Lawrence Hunt, and of course Malcolm Marshall for stopping by. Until next week, remember, with Heavy Muscle Radio,
the truth hurts.
Heavy Muscle Radio is a presentation of RXMuscle.com, the truth in bodybuilding. Tune in next week at the same time for another round with Dave Palumbo and John Romano, only on Heavy Muscle Radio.